Okay, I am going to call to order this meeting of the April 10th meeting of the WPFW Local Station Board on Zoom. It is 6:33 p.m. And Ellen, as secretary, will you please call the roll? I think we have quorum, and hopefully we will by the time you finish.
Irene?
Present.
Karen Briggs?
She said that she would be late and perhaps absent.
Okay. Vanessa?
You got to me really fast. I'm here. I just didn't expect my name so soon. I'm here.
Okay. Sarah?
Yes.
Here.
Verna?
Present.
Wayne? I'll come back. Michael Byfield? Come back. Bill Curtis? I saw him.
Here. I'm here.
Violetta?
Here.
Wanda asked to be excused. She sent an email. Sue Goodwin? Sue Goodwin? Robert Gordon?
Eating chili off camera, and I'm here.
Okay, sounds
good. It's good.
Yeah.
Just made it.
Donna? Donna? Camille?
Someone needs to meet.
I was about to say, all these years. And you...
I know, to say Kamau.
Kamau is here.
Named Camus. Kamau, I'm sorry.
No worries. Thank you.
Arthur?
I'm here.
Andrew? Ambrose? Patrick?
I'm here, just looking for some chili.
You and me both. Tony?
Present.
Mariah?
Present.
Ron?
I'm present with chili dogs.
Ooh. Minerva?
Present.
Adele? Adele? Okay, and Dennis. I'm back.
I'm here, and Andrew just entered.
Okay, I have him. Wayne, has he entered?
No.
Michael Byfield?
No.
I think Wanda, I heard his name. Andrew Craig here.
Who is?
Andrew Craig.
Yes.
Okay, I have you, Andrew. I have you. Okay, Sue Goodwin, has she arrived? I don't see her.
No.
Okay. Donna Grimes? No.
No, and you know, I think I said it was Karen Briggs who was going to be late, but it was actually Wanda who reached out.
Okay. So you haven't heard anything from Karen Briggs?
No. No.
Okay. All right. That's everyone. I'll have to wait and see. If you could let me know if Donna comes, if Sue arrives, mm-hmm. and if Wayne Bruce, Michael Byfield,
and Chair,
and Karen.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I just received a text from Donna saying that she might be a little late.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Ambrose Lane also I didn't mention. Has he come?
No, he has not.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. quick note as we move to the agenda. 2 weeks ago, I did reach out to all of the committee chairs and PNB directors for input on the agenda, and you all got a draft a week ago with a request for any changes by Saturday. Since the draft went out, I have made 3 changes that appeared on the final agenda that you received today. One is to add an executive session at the request of management. 2 was to add a line item for to recap the fundraising meeting under unfinished business. And 3 was to add 5 minutes to the Finance Committee report because it looks like we have a budget to consider this evening. Okay, given all that, any objections to approving the agenda? Okay, hearing none, the agenda is approved. And any objections to the minutes? All right, hearing none, the minutes are approved, and Mr. Byfield is in the room, and so is the interim general manager, just in time for the management report, and Wayne Bruce is as well. Miyuki?
Mr. Chair, yes. Pardon me. Mr. Chair, could you make sure that everybody is muted? Because I see some that are not.
I hear someone speaking. Can you please mute everyone, please? And right now, the only people who should be unmuted are me and the interim general manager.
Good evening, everyone. Go ahead, Dennis.
You got it. You have the floor.
Thank you so much. I am deeply honored to step into the role of interim general manager at WPFW, and I'd like to express my heartfelt gratitude for this welcome. To those who championed my appointment, I'm committed to living up to your expectations and trust. For those who are uncertain about my selection, I aim to earn your confidence through decisive action and tangible results. Together, we'll embark on a journey toward operational excellence and financial stability. Our mission is clear. Steer WPFW towards fiscal health. Facing substantial debt, it is critical we enhance our financial inflow while strategically managing our expenditures. Our strategy encompasses several key initiatives. Prioritization of debt reduction to alleviate financial strain. Cultivate diverse revenue streams through enhanced fundraising drives, engaging major donors, hosting impactful events, securing grants, exploring planned giving opportunities, and partnering with esteemed institutions and organizations. Optimize operational efficiency by addressing current needs and assessing staff requirements. Our 90-day roadmap, first 30 days, assessment and foundation building. Want to conduct a comprehensive financial and operational review. Start to transfer the essential items, bank accounts, keys, all that kind of information. Initiate meetings with key stakeholders, staff, paid and unpaid, April 6th through April 16th. LSB, April 10th, good evening. Finance Committee, April 8th. Relocation Committee, April 17th. The Union, April 15th. Listeners and Pacifica executives. And to organize and revitalize our workspace. The next 60 days, action and engagement. Launch the spring fundraising drive. Preparation is the actual drive is going to be May 12th through the 25th. And the pre-drive is going to be 5 to 12. I mean, pre-drive, we're going to try to encourage people to, start, telling what our goal is, what we're trying to do by, eliminating the third week of the drive, but try to get them to give money before that. Explore relocation options and potential partnerships, such as collaborating with Dance Place for the Dance Africa event. Open WPFW's doors wider to our community. And the final 30 days of the 90-day plan is expansion and evaluation. Develop additional income streams to ensure long-term sustainability. Complete the organization-wide cleanup and reassessment. Review our budget with eyes toward potential staff expansion. This is an ambitious plan, only aims to stabilize our finances, not only aims to raise our, stabilize our finances, but also to rejuvenate WPFW spirit and community impact. Your support and collaboration are pivotal to our success. Together, we'll navigate these challenges and emerge stronger, united by our shared commitment to WPFW's mission and future. Your support is critical for success. And we can all start from the fact that we all love WPFW. Thank you for your trust and your partnership as we move forward. The GM retired, former GM retired on March 31st. Our bookkeeper resigned on April 4th. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions or comments for Miyuki? Robert. Oh, you're clapping, I see.
Thank you.
Eddie.
I just wanted to say thank you to Miyuki for stepping into the breach, as it were, and coming up with a plan, you know, and people can discuss the plan, but we have a plan, and that's really, you know, that's something. And I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Addie.
Vanessa.
Addie said exactly what I wanted to say, ditto.
Okay. Verna?
Well, I would say ditto. I would say ditto, but I'll add a little bit. Miyuki, and I think that already it seems like we're off to a good start. Can you just sort of summarize the recent fundraising drive that we had this weekend, or is that scheduled for later this evening?
That's scheduled. Satari is going to do the development, so I can do more of the general manager stuff. So she's mm-hmm. taking over some, picking up some of the development slack.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I just want to add to the congratulations for getting the position, and thank you so much for assuming this difficult, challenging position at a time when we really need you at the helm. Thank you, Miyuki.
Thank you, Vernon.
I would also like to say, Miyuki, that I look forward to getting at least the outlines of this in writing so that we can share it with the board so that we can you know, collectively work with you to hit some of those markers and see where, you know, what the board can contribute to those 30-day intervals and what you need, what kind of help you need that we can provide.
Thank you very much, Dennis.
Other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you. Is Katia here?
I am, Dennis.
Okay. Hi, Katia.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Good.
You have the floor.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. First of all, I'm thrilled that Miyuki is our IGM. Many of you may not know, but we worked together before, when I first became interim program director under Michelle Price Johnson, and we had a really good working relationship, and we already, I think, are off to a good start, and we have a certain kind of synergy and transparency that really allows for us to do some good work together. So thank you, Miyuki, for stepping up. I know it's not easy, but you are what we need now, so thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have much more to report than last month in terms of, I gave a very long and thorough report last month. And I did not, forgive me. I intend to submit a written report like I have been doing, but I just didn't have a chance today. It's been nonstop. So, what I do want to talk about the most important two things, three things actually, three big things. One is that programmers are, at this moment, the last of them are submitting their evaluations, self-evaluations. We will have all of them in by Friday night at 11:59 p.m. It'll take us a while to distill them, to put them in some kind of chart. But as soon as that's done, and as I said, it'll take a while, we're happy to share with the entire board or the programming committee so you can just see what people are saying. And I can already send you the blank tool so you can see that as well before you see the information. But the programmers have been very responsive. They've been taking it seriously. We've got some very good feedback in them, not only about their own programming, but also about the scope and the direction of WPFW, which is equally as important. We're also working with programmers. This is a little bit of development, but it does have to do with programming in that we're trying to bring those programmers that have not been doing well in the pledge drive up so that they can at least make goal. Everyone has to at least make goal. Exceeding goal would be wonderful, but they all have to at least make goal so that everyone's pulling their weight. We also have been working on, we just started working on the technical proficiency so that the sound is improved. And we had a breakthrough this morning with Dr. Williams, who had been, I don't know how many of you listen to her show, Wake Up and Stay Woke, but she had been having trouble on the phone. There was a lot of, can you hear me? I can't hear you. Yesterday, I talked her through using the Zoom. Miyuki had recommended the Zoom. I talked her into it yesterday. We just kind of stayed with it. And she sounded so good on Zoom this morning. It was wonderful. And you could tell she felt energized and she sounded great. It was clear. Her guests could be heard. So we're working on improving the quality of our sound because that's equally as important as the wonderful content that our programmers bring. And again, that is something that's also covered in the evaluation. I've asked Tom Cole to take over the process of completing the programmer's handbook and the Bill of Rights so that can get done. So I think in this group, Bill, Curtis, and Irene are members of that group. Tom will be sending something out to you all to convene so you all can continue with that work. I still know that there is an answer owed on the proposal that Sarah Brown submitted. I'm actually finally meeting with the Inside Out Collective this evening at 8 p.m. So, after that, I can come back to the board and offer feedback, from them regarding our coverage of, Pride Month and specifically the Pride Parade. Here, we already have a Pride Month day of programming that we do at the last day of June. And it's always dedicated to Wanda Alston, who was an African-American trans activist here in Washington, D.C., very well known. She did a lot for really all trans people, but certainly Black trans community here in D.C. when there was virtually no services, no help, no anything. And so we try to honor the spirit and the memory of Wanda Alston. Some of us actually even got to meet her, and she was a dynamic woman and very dedicated to the people. So we've been doing this now for, this might be our fourth year, the house that Wanda built, and we intend to do that again at the end of the month. In terms of Jazz Month and Poetry Month that we're in now, the 30th is Jazz, International Jazz Day, so we'll have, we did it last year, we'll have International Jazz Programming. on that day, we will also have a day of poetry. It probably won't be the Jazzoetry event that we've done, but, in thinking about, you know, losing Dory Ladner, losing Ruben, I thought a lot about Grace Cavalieri and how she was the one that brought poetry to WPFW, and Grace still loves PFW, and she's constantly sending her programs, The Poet and the Poem, to WPFW. So we will use whatever special programming day we do around poetry to hear some of those episodes, because The Poet and the Poem, before it was at the Library of Congress, was born right here at PFW on 8th Street. And we'll also be honoring Reuben Jackson. And actually, she has two wonderful segments with Reuben that'll be played on that day. We don't have the date completed yet. We're going to try... I can't promise this yet because we haven't spoken to the people, but we are going to try, and thanks to Miyuki for talking to me about this, we're going to try to resurrect our jazz calendar and our social justice calendar so that, you know, these were dynamic things that were on the air. They helped to build community. They helped to inform our listeners of what's happening in the city, what they can get involved in, what they can see in terms of art and culture. So we will be starting that again And May 5th, this is a little bit down the line. There are three more things. One is May 15th is the Nakba, which is the, many of you know, for Palestinians, it's what they call the Great Catastrophe, when they were forced from their homes in 1948. And for several years, we have participated in something called Radio Free Palestine. For many years, we've been one of two U.S. Stations, radio stations. I think KQED was the other one that have participated in the program. They've had stations all around the world participate in Radio Free Palestine. But we've been asked this year, WPFW, to produce the English language stream of Radio Free Palestine. This year, they're going to split the streams up. In past years, they had 6 hours of English, 6 hours of Arabic, 6 hours of French, 6 hours of Spanish. This year, they're going for separate streams for each one of them. So there are radio stations across this country, as well as in Canada, even in parts of Africa, in Palestine, that will participate. And we're working with a wonderful producer, Leith Malouf, who is in Lebanon, actually, right now, based in Lebanon. And so we will be doing that on May 15th for 24 hours. We also have met with Friends of the Congo, and we will offer a community gift. We've done them before. We did the last drive. We did one for the Middle Eastern Children's Alliance, where 60% of the proceeds come to WPFW, 40% of the proceeds go to the entity. So we're going to do that around Friends of the Congo, in a similar way that we did with Dory Labner, where the funds went to SNCC, but then SNCC used them for Dory's care, sent them on for Dory's care. In this case, there's a wonderful program of empowerment for women in the Congo. I don't know how much everyone knows, but it really mirrors what's happening in Palestine right now. And it's been going on in terms of recent, like this year, last year, these recent years, it's been going on equally as long. Really, if you go back to King Leopold, we can take it back that far. But in recent years, the harm done to women and children is incalculable. And so they have a program to empower women. One of the things that women lack there often, as we hear in Palestine, is sanitary supplies. And so they have a program where women are making reusable sanitary supplies. And they don't only make them for themselves. They make them for women in the villages, women in the refugee camps, you know. And it's a way for them to make some sort of income. But more importantly, it's a way to have agency over their bodies. It's a way to combat the patriarchy and allows them ownership and empowerment. And so we will be partnering with Friends of the Congo for the upcoming drive to offer a community gift where people can donate. And when they do, again, 60% of their donation comes to us, 40% goes to Friends of the Congo's Women's Project in the Congo. We also talked about having a day, which we haven't done before, called Africa Rising. But with the shifts, the political shifts on the continent right now that are very exciting. I mean, my favorite is the one in Burkina Faso, Traore, but these young leaders are in Niger, in Senegal. They're saying no more colonialism, no more imperialism. So we're going to work with our programmers to do a special day of programming called Africa Rising. And, looking at these places like Sudan, like Ethiopia, like the Congo and many others, where there is a political shift, where colonialism and neocolonialism have wreaked havoc. It'll be both a political and a cultural day in terms of presenting not only speeches and conversations, but also music. And then, of course, June is Black Music Month. That's coming up, so we'll have something for that. And I think that's all that I have right now. Like I said, I think I put a lot in I'm sorry, I've been up since 4 o'clock. I put a lot in last month's report, but I am going to write all of this up and I will submit it to you. So I'm done.
Irene and then Minerva. Sorry, I was muted. Thank you.
I'm trying to get off mute. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you for that. I just want to ask you of the events that are coming up. Are there any plans for Juneteenth? I think there are some things that this board has been looking at, as well as the program committee, for some Juneteenth activities. Do you have anything on your calendar for that?
I have Tom Blanton's proposal. That's the one that I have, the one from Tom Blanton. That's what I've been talking to him. And I actually just got in concrete proposal this evening from him.
Okay. Okay. All right. And the other thing, Dennis, I'd like to know if we're going to have a timekeeper for this, since we're extending times on certain things. I just want to know if we have a timekeeper.
Yeah. Can I get a volunteer for individual speakers and also to keep track of the time for each segment? Would someone like to volunteer as a timekeeper?
Dennis, I'll take care of the time. Thank you.
Okay. 90 seconds for speakers, and we will try to follow the agenda as closely as possible, with a little wiggle room on the topics. Thank you, Irene, for that. Okay, Minerva.
Yes. Good evening to everyone, and good evening, Katia, and thank you for the information you just shared. And I have to ask, I know that you're busy, you've been ill and other things of that sort, but I need to understand why this report that you just gave is something that the program committee didn't even receive, because you haven't joined us. But in the report, I didn't hear much about community activities that are going on right now in the area. And, you know, I heard a lot of international. What is your plan for 2024 for local activities for our listeners, for those people that put up their money to keep this station on the air? Can you share that?
You mean local programming? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm speaking. I'm glad you got it. Yes, local programming.
We are going to do during Black Music Month, we'll do a day of programming dedicated to the DC jazz scene, because it's one that's thriving and very vibrant and very diverse. Of course, you know, later on towards September, we do the DC Jazz Festival. We also do a live day of programming from the Hirshhorn Museum. We've done that several years. It's something called Sound Scene, which is a local organization called DC Listening Lounge. We've partnered with them. And we have our Saturday DJs out there all day long, starting at 10 a.m. And we go until Vaughn, which is 6 p.m. We've been out there, and they've invited us back for this year. There's the possibility of a live broadcast from they're starting the DC Carnival again. So I just got an email about that today. So we might be broadcasting live from there. And I would say also our Pride programming, the house that Wanda built, is super, super local. It's hyper local. Wanda Alston, you know, like Marsha P. Johnson to New York, Wanda Alston is our Marsha P. Johnson. And so if you listen on that day, there is a lot of coverage of what's happening here locally. Our programmers bring that to the air. I guess I don't often, I mean, think globally and act locally. That's what we do. So when we talk about, for instance, the issue of Palestine, right, the conversation is just not about Palestine. On that day, you'll hear conversations talking about how how American police forces are being trained by Israeli police forces. So the tactic of the knee on the neck is an Israeli tactic that was taught to our police forces. We'll talk about police brutality throughout the diaspora, which means DC too. I mean, what Harriet's Wildest Dreams is doing, what Shutdown DC is doing, these are local organizations, but they are making, and we will have them on our air. They are making the link between what happens in Black and brown and poor communities right here in the city to what is happening in Palestine, in the Congo, in Sudan. So there is no separation. You know, I don't want to go on and on, but
And I guess, Katia, I don't mean to stop you, but when I'm talking about local, I'm talking about the issue that happened in Baltimore with the bridge and activities that may be going on in Baltimore. I know that for a while last year, they were talking about bringing Virginia's activities into the fold so that we could get more listeners in that area as well. Those are the things that I'm talking about. Okay, but, well, you know, I'm not going to hold up this meeting any longer with this, but I would invite you again to come join us in some of our program committee meetings. Thank you for your.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chair, I've been trying to raise my hand, but my icon seems not to be working.
Okay. Go ahead, Ron.
How you doing? Ms. Katia?
Me? Yes. Hi, Ron.
Listen, a quick question. Two things. One, we have, the crisis in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any, you know, plans afoot to deal with that and long range plans, for the election?
Thank you for those questions. So Kumbit Lakai has been covering Haiti, as has Margaret Prescott several times now. When I said Africa Rising, I think we're talking about the diaspora, which includes Haiti. So I should be clear there. It is about the diaspora, not just the continent proper, but the diaspora. And Haiti is part of that. And even today, you know, if you listen throughout our grid, like on Mwiza's show today, they were talking about Sudan, but the guest made that point that I just made, that when you can't talk about Sudan without talking about what's happening in Baltimore, what's happening in Haiti, what's happening in Oakland. You know what I mean? It's all connected. And actually, that was his African guest that made that point today. So there's been quite a bit of coverage on our air around Haiti. There will be more, and they will be included in that special day of programming on Africa Rising. And then can I just go back for a minute, though? I just wanted to say that I know that for a fact, because I've heard programmers talk about the bridge collapse. So I don't want anyone here to get the feeling that our programmers are not addressing the what is relevant and what is timely and what is happening. They are absolutely talking about those things, and especially this awful, awful bridge collapse. And I know Latino Media Collective covered it from the standpoint of these were primarily Latin American workers whose now families are suffering, and the larger question of immigration being something that we need, but that we don't really want. And that was the Latino Media Collective on that point. I'm sorry, Ron, what was your second question? Ron?
Yeah, long range plans for the,
the elections. We don't have the money to do what Pacifica usually does, which is send people to the, conventions. So this year, and I actually talked to Linda Perry today, the program director at BAI. So from our thinking, and I know Miyuki shares this, I'm sure Sue Goodwin also would share this, we are going to use Democracy Now!'s coverage of the conventions because they do a great job. They do it every day of the convention. They have a separate program that deals with nothing that's from the convention. And frankly, we can't compete, you know, in terms of like, the technological advantage. I mean, we can't be there. We don't have the funds to be there. So we're going to rely on what Amy has produced every time there's been an election cycle and these conventions. We're going to take her coverage from the convention.
Okay. I'm going to get a, Miyuki, put your hand down. I see, Byfield and Curtis, and then we have to move on to the development committee. Not the development committee, I'm sorry, development department management report. Okay, Michael.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even know whether or not this question should be directed towards Katia or not, but for the last week, and particularly the last 10 days, a lot of the programs, and I'm going to point out three, has been technically terrible. I'm going to start with, I know that what these people are using is Zoom, but to listen to a radio station and the program, a regular program that is on, and the host does not know that they're on the air and they're talking to someone else, is terrible. And for, I mean, it sounds like we're worse than some high school radio station. You know, for one, the first one I want to name is, I guess, the program that comes after, on Tuesday, Ife Williams, that's most recently. I guess that was, last Wednesday. Both her and her guests did not know, and there was double talk all over. They just had no idea who was on. It sounded terrible.
30 seconds.
The entire hour of program was like that. I would really, I would like for us to seriously take a look, because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to me as a board member, as a member of the radio station, to hear that on a regular basis, after we've spent so much money, year in, year out, our technical, the efforts that we're taking to fix that. And again, I don't think that's Katia's responsibility. To be honest with you, but it's not like we have an operations manager that's going to be listening to us tonight. So I just thought I'd put that out there.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. So you may not have heard me say about Dr. Williams, because I also heard last week and was at wit's end, quite frankly. It was embarrassing to me, too. When the air is not good, it's embarrassing to me. I cringe every single time. Anytime I heard Roach, I cringe. So with Dr. Williams, we finally convinced her to move to Zoom this morning, and it was impeccable. It was clear from the first introduction to the end. There was no, can you hear me? No, I can't hear you. No talking over each other. It was perfect. That is the standard. You know, the thing is, you didn't get to name the other two programs, but the ones that I notice is, for instance, Roach, right? We have done a lot with him. I'm not quite clear on what the issue is with Roach, but it has to be worked out so that it sounds better. So I, on all that you say about our sound, again, that's one of the things we have to address to get better. Okay. We're not, you know, it doesn't matter what content we put out. If the sound is horrendous, people are going to tune out. So we're working on that right now. Thank you for surfacing that.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, we're at time for this particular segment.
All right, I'm going to let Bill and Miyuki very quickly, no more than a minute each, and then we got to move on.
Is that me, Dennis?
Yes, yes, Bill.
Okay, thanks, sir. A quick question, Katia.
Yes, hi, Bill.
24-hour programming that's coming on. Can you hear me clearly? I'm having problems with my phone.
I can hear you fine. Yeah, but so I didn't
you said
hear
it's,
the first part.
8 hours of French.
Oh, no, not this year. Not this year, no. That's what it's been in past years when they've done
so
it.
So this year, what are we doing?
It's only English.
Okay. Is that 24 hours of Palestinian-related news, conversation,
yes,
and talk?
Exactly. We've done this now for 5 years.
Okay, yeah. And you said that, I forget what you said, the other entity that is producing this.
Well, there's
an
entity
correct?
Called-
Am I understanding that correctly?
We are producing the English language stream now. There's an entity called Radio Free Palestine, right? That's
seconds.
In Canada. Yeah, is that what you're talking about? Radio Free Palestine?
Well, this is my question. So
yes.
We're carrying that for them 24 hours. Correct?
We're not carrying it for them. We're not carrying it for them. We are partnering with them. And BAI is also carrying this. I mean, hopefully all of Pacifica will carry it. There have been times when all of Pacifica did. In the last
several
years.
Is there any kind of a subsidy that comes from these entities when we carry something like that? I know we're a public affair. I mean, a public radio station. We're in a Pacifica family. But is there any compensation?
No, you can't pay. That's like pay to play. You don't, you know, but the other thing is, this is, so you know, the origin of Radio Free Palestine actually came from Ursula, who is the, originally, like 5 years ago, Ursula Rudenberg, who is the director of our affiliates program, brought this to the network.
Okay. One last thing I'm going to just add for consideration down the line. because we do broadcast, we partner with various entities, that bookstore over there in Hyattsville, in DC, and in Baltimore, Poets Center.
Busboys and Poets?
Yeah, Busboys and Poets.
Right.
I think you may want to consider, and Miyuki's listening here on the line for this, you know, we do a lot for others in terms of getting their information out, the location of the business out. We just do a lot of public information on behalf of people. We may want to consider, how to get them to, really, make contributions during fundraising drives.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Dennis.
Can I respond to that?
15 seconds.
There's something for consideration. Okay. You don't necessarily have to respond.
Well, but I do, because I want to tell you, Andy Shalal has been one of our major donors.
Okay, that's good to hear.
For over a decade. I just want you to be clear.
I hear
to know
you.
That.
I understand.
Okay. Quick comment from Miyuki, and then we got to move.
Thanks.
Yeah, I just wanted to just expand a little bit on what Katia said about the job that she has to do with the engineer. She has heard that those things, and she's working on them. But please understand, Katia is a program director. But because we're so short on staff, she also has to be operations director. And she has a very, very big load to be responsible for. So I just wanted to say that I really appreciate that. And we're going to hear the development report from Sitaria. A large reason why it did so well is Katia was able to put those shows to make the weekend what it is that has become such a moneymaker. So I just wanted to thank her publicly for her work.
Okay. Thank you. Sitari, thank you for your patience. Donna, I'm sorry. I'm glad you're here, but we got to move on.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
This is Sitaria. Hello. I want to start by saying, good evening. Thank you to everyone for being here this evening. We did do our on-air fundraiser for the relocation fund this past weekend. It was officially the 6th and 7th, but Robin Holden did do some fundraising on Friday evening. So for just the 6th and 7th, we're looking at $58,929. Robin's portion, Robin is not included in that number. We have for a Robin Holden show on Friday, what was that, the 5th, $1,860, and in Cash App, $194. So all that to say, we're getting $60,983, which was awesome. Very awesome. So thank you.
Right.
Thank you all.
Yes.
Yes. That was pretty amazing. We do have some outstanding pledge reminders. They are stuffed and ready to go to the post office right now. They total $4,370 for those. I do want to make sure to thank folks who came out to volunteer. Please forgive me if I miss a name. But I know Dennis, he came out and answered phones, as did Art, Kamal. I believe Glenn came out, and Vanessa and Minerva also answered phones. So I want to say thank you so much for participating. And I know that all of you listen, help spread the word, told people, encourage people to give us a call and donate. So thank you all for that. We have our spring drive, which is going to be May 12th through May 25th. Our on-air goal is going to be $250,000. I want to make sure that you notice that that is 2 weeks. That's 14 days instead of 21. And that is going to be, we're going to start promoting that. Our first, we're going to do an e-blast to about 17,000 listeners and members. That is slated to go out on April 21st. The main focus will be on the upcoming program to help promote the programming that's going to be coming up towards the end of April. But it'll also include drive announcement, the next drive announcement, where the drive itself will be the main focus, will be May 5th, which will be a week in advance of the pledge drive. That'll be scheduled to go out. And please let me know, Katia and Miyuki, if you have things that need to be included, and anyone else, if you've got some station business that we need to share with our list, please let me know. And we can include that as well. Let's see. I'm sorry, I'm going through my list here really quickly. Let's see. Oh, and did anyone have any questions for me?
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait.
Vanessa.
Yeah, hold on. Miyuki, did you have a quick comment?
Just a quick comment. I see Eric Ramey sitting there. I want everyone to know that he stuck through till 3 hours past the time he committed after being there for 3 or 4 hours to make sure that Jim Byers had support and Larry Applebaum had support. And I really want to thank you. I want to thank, and then all the rest of you who volunteered over the weekend. It makes a big difference when people know the shows and had those conversations with the listeners. Donations become higher. People appreciate the familiarity that you have with the station. And so that's important. So thank you very much to all of you. And I just wanted to say a special thanks to Eric.
Great. Thanks, Eric. And thank you, Miyuki. And Vanessa, you have a question for Sitaria.
Not a question, just a comment to say congratulations. Congratulations to you and Miyuki and whomever else was involved in this effort. I think that the outcome was fabulous. I just want to encourage other LSB delegates to come and help out. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I got to know more about the programs. I got to talk to Art, which I never get to do on these calls. And it was a very enjoyable experience. And I'm so proud of the outcome, you know, as coordinated by those who are responsible, Sitaria, Miyuki, and whomever else did it. Great job.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you. I also want to encourage all of you to sign up with Vinny for volunteer hours for the upcoming May drive. As Vanessa said, it is a fun time. I must admit that I had missed it a lot, you know, since COVID, really interacting with our volunteers. And it is, it's kind of a highlight. And even though we're working, it also helps it go a little faster when you're there. You've got the volunteers. You guys keep it interesting when you're involved. And you find out a lot about how the community interacts with WPFW and how they feel. So we want to encourage you and invite you. And thank you for all the work that you've done. And, you know, it's PFW, so we're always asking for a little bit more. But we want to invite you to come on through. We are also working on, as far as fundraising, working on some long-term things. I do have some help. I know Craig Williams and Art have volunteered to help me come up with, well, not come up with, but help me with some things. Long-term, we're trying to get our planned giving together. Shorter-term, we're looking at possibly doing some major donor events. But I'll give you guys some more concrete information about all that stuff as we get it locked down.
Right. Thank you. And also kudos for having those reminders stacked and ready to go out. I know that's big.
Thank you.
Yes. Just real quick. Sitaria, you know, I love you to death, but I have to let you know if it was someone there on Saturday or Sunday, they might have looked like me, but it wasn't me. I was there with you Friday night to help with some things, you know, and I just believe in
on my mind.
I know. But, you know, I just believe when information is put down, you know, if I didn't do it, I'll be the first to say. But, you know, I do volunteer and we'll see for the upcoming where I might be able to insert myself. Thank you.
Thank you. And Minerva's been helping me work on our thank you gift problem, as you are probably all aware, very aware, personally and from friends and family. So we are, Minerva's been very helpful with that. Just helped me get my thoughts together on how we're going to approach it. So I thank Minerva for her help in that area.
We're at time, Dennis, Mr. Chair.
Yep. All right. Perfect. You can keep the floor, Mr. Harris, and proceed with the Finance Committee report. Thanks again.
Okay.
My pleasure.
All right, the Finance Committee, WPFW Finance Committee met on Monday, April 8th, via Zoom. The meeting time was 7 p.m. The members of our committee, myself as chair, we still have Julie Hewitt, Lou Wolf, Sabu Hakim, Tony Leon, Eileen Rossin, and Kathleen Malloy. Our agenda on Monday night was to convene our meeting, approve the agenda. We heard a financial report from management. We had a preliminary report on the special weekend of fundraising for the relocation drive, effort. We reviewed our FY24 draft budget, took questions, and adjourned. Due to the turnover at this station, we were only able to ascertain a few data points, so we don't have our typical detail of the transactions that would have occurred in the month of March. The ending cash balance in the Truist operating account on 3/31/2024 was $4,683.56. During the month of March, in total, the amount of withdrawals, both checks and other debits, was $168,046.49. Additions or credits to the account in the month of March totaled $34,684.08. We tried to ascertain both the balance of the United Bank account and the Bank of America account. We're still working on that, so we'll have more for the board when that becomes available. Also, currently, we do not have a full listing of the outstanding accounts payable as of 3/31. If the board would so like, I can go over what was produced at the end of February, but we currently don't have that list. Again, pulling all that together, we'll have that for the board to review. As was stated by the interim general manager, the administrative assistant has resigned as of 4/5, thus leaving us with a little bit of a hole to fill. I do have a budget here tonight, so I will pause for any questions on the initial report before we dive into the FY24 budget. All right. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I wanted to share that
I thought I
budget, but I'm on my iPad, so I'm not able to share it. So I don't know if you have it. If not, I can walk through it, but
yeah, let me look.
Might be a little easier so people can see.
Well, you go ahead and start walking. I'll look.
Okay. All right. As you all know, we're currently in, fiscal year. Let me put my camera on so y'all can see my shiny face. As you all know, we're currently, in our fiscal year 2024. So this budget was prepared for this current year. Because it's, essentially 6 months or half the year gone at this point, this becomes pretty much a kind of temporary process. We're going to take the actuals once the national office produces the financial statements, for the first 6 months. We'll have those actuals available and, this budget will become, updated as of, that date when we receive those numbers. So if you go, that's fine, Dennis. Yep. You got it. So the way this works, the top going across the horizon, is just our columns. And the way that, our executive director was also instrumental in preparing this, we've got the accounts in that first column, both revenue and expense. And then going across, we have the actual activity for fiscal years 21, 22, 23. Okay. So we have three full fiscal years. Fiscal years beginning October 1, ending September 30. We have 3 full years. We then have a column for a proposed FY24 budget. And the last column there you'll see is the FY24 relocation. And I'll speak about why that's carved out in a second. Listener support revenue is proposed at about $1.4 million. The major donors is we don't have any coming in this year. Actually, this has been combined with the listener support above. The major donors definition kind of being in flux right now, being discussed at the national level. So we just rolled all those numbers together. Some car donations, some community events, some grant income, and then potential underwriting, all totaling $1.5 million in revenue estimated for this fiscal year ending September 30. Scroll down a little bit for me, Dennis.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, right there. Fine. Perfect. What this is the expenses. We begin with our salaries. Salaries having 8 full-time staff plus 2 part-time. That's what this budget is based on. So it's not updated as of any changes that have currently happened within the last week. But as a total, salaries, $485,000. We've got some payroll expenses, 403B contributions, and health benefits, all of which gets us to $680,000 in salaries and related expenses. There's some board expenses at $5,000 for the national office. This is for the elections, for the national elections. It's the potential here is that the national office might pick up that expense for us, depending on what happens at that level. But right now it is a cost to us for about $5,000. If you want to go to the next page. All right. On this page, we've got a breakdown of what we call our administrative expenses. $18,000 for consultants. We've got some telephone at $10,000, internet and cable. We've got some of the larger numbers, some interest and bank charges at $6,000. Our office rent, which is the biggest number there at $200,000 for the year, all of which is going to get us to approximately $256,000, almost $257,000 in administrative expenses. What you're going to notice is that year over year, these expenses have declined. And the way in which our executive director decided to approach the budget this year is to kind of carve out a lot of what was being defined as administrative into the other categories. As you know, we have administrative costs, we have programming costs, and we have development costs. So each of these are now a lot more accurately defined in terms of how we spend our monies. And then as we begin, as our interim GM has stated, as we do a lot deeper dive into what's happening, we'll be able to even refine this even more closely to get us to be a lot more accurate. And the reason why you want to get the categories in the right place is because when folks look at a nonprofit, they don't want to see all of their expenses going into the administration of the organization. All right. They want to make sure that the development and programming is being invested in. All right. So if you want to go ahead and skip down. So that's why you'll see under programming now, you have about $50,000 in consultant costs, some programming supplies. We still have our tower rent, utilities for both the tower and locally at the station. Again, breaking out those phone and internet into some programming costs. We have some more telephone transmitter lines. Again, all is totaling $254,000 in costs for programming. And then, of course, in development, totally $92,550. Again, some consultants here in the development side, I've got some credit card costs for development, some supplies, premiums from the vendors, and of course the fund drive telemarketing, that all totaling $92,550. You know, skip all the way down there. At the end of the day, in the yellow portion of this page, kind of gives us the summary where, this budget for fiscal year 24, is going to have a deficit of $42,000, just a shade over $42,000. All right. One of the things that, does impact us quite a bit that we haven't been able to keep up on, but the expectation is still there, is that the central services be paid for both the national office and the radio archives, each of which the national office is 15% of our revenue. That's what we owe each, for the whole year is 15% of revenue. And the archives is 5% of our revenue. And so back to the relocation, revenue that we carved out. And the reason why we did that is so that the revenue earned from that portion of what we're doing here locally isn't then, for lack of a better word, taxed through this central services. It's actually just the operating revenues, that are part of the, central services formula. So that's why you see that carve out, in terms of the, relocation revenue that we're raising. So that's the, complete budget for fiscal year, 24. Again, we're in the middle of it. So, it's going to be a moving target. We do have a motion. If, you want me to do the motion now? Do you want to wait for questions and then come back to it? I'm not sure how we.
Yeah, let's hear a couple of questions first.
But the great.
Motion is basically for us to accept the, to accept, this budget. We'll do it in detail later, but, I see a question from Michael and from Mariah and from Wayne.
Yes, good evening, Kamal. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Gotcha, sir. Loud and clear.
First, I want to express my appreciation for the work that you do. It is volunteer work, so, it's greatly appreciated, from how I view it. One of the questions, and I don't know if you're the person to answer that, is, do you believe that the finance, committee is responsible for making recommendations after just reviewing a typical pattern of how our finances has been conducted over time? That's one question. And the second question is comment is having. I was just in New York for a funeral this past weekend, and so I was exposed to a lot of
seconds.
WBAI, and I'm aware of the crisis that exists there, and I just think we need to take sleep to mark death. In other words, if there's a crisis there, I think we should really understand that there's a crisis here. And lastly, you mentioned that the last accounts receivable that you have, since you don't have the 31st, is February 29th. I'd like to know that. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so, yes, the Finance Committee needs to be a lot more active. So the way in which I see the role for our Finance Committee is first oversight, making sure that we have that we're putting the best appropriate accounting principles to bear on the activity, and that we're actually having the interests of the station at heart and all the financial moves and decisions that are made. So that's key for us. And so, yes, when we see as a committee, when we see things that we feel that are maybe necessary or that may need to be addressed, those recommendations are made. I am slightly aware of the crisis at BAI, although it's a micro because the macro crisis is Pacifica at large. We are careful here not to call ourselves in crisis. We do have definitely have some responsibilities that we need to attend to. But 42,000 deficit isn't a massive one. But we do need to get ourselves together in terms of how we want to approach our spending habits, what we're spending on. I think that, and I've said this from the beginning, that's been the primary kind of low-hanging fruit that we have overlooked for so long. What actually is the savings that we can ascertain from what we're doing? And then, of course, walking and chewing gum at the same time, putting together a formula to attract more membership and raise revenue. But I think the approach is going to be good. I think we have a great staff, and I think we'll achieve that. I do have the accounts payable. Did you want the total or did you want the breakdown? I mean, I can definitely email it to you.
Yeah, not the breakdown, just the total.
The total? Okay, all right. Let me get that for you. The accounts payable at 229.24 was $327,000.62. 327.62.
Okay. What I'm going to do, since we have a stack building here, why don't you go ahead and state the motion, Kamau, so that people can be considering that as they speak.
Sure.
The motion from the committee.
Yep, absolutely. This motion out of the Finance Committee Monday night, is the WPFW Finance Committee moves to forward the FY24 operating budget as presented by station management to the local station board for review, and recommends they move this budget forward to the National Finance Committee for their review. This motion was passed without objection, again on Monday night, April 8th.
Okay. So we will, all of our comments will be addressing the budget in some form. We do not need a second. We will vote on that. Mariah, you are up next.
Yeah, thank you, and good evening, Kamau. Thanks for the thorough report and breakdown of the fiscal year proposed budget, fiscal year 24 proposed budget. I had two quick questions. Mm-hmm. One is just the consultant fee. So I saw that we're proposing $18,000 for consultants, and was wondering why that was the proposal if the actuals have been over $150,000 in previous fiscal years. Or maybe I just saw it wrong and it's just categorized in different places.
No, you saw it right. You saw it correctly. Yes. So the consultants on the administrative side, were only one. And so that one consultant at $18,000, is kind of butted up against the full allotment of consultants that have taken place over the past three fiscal years. If you scroll down, hopefully you have a copy of this, but you'll see some consulting in programming, and you'll also see some consulting in development. So we've got it in three different places. The total consulting bill for the year now has come way down. So we're at 73,000 versus a trend of like, you know, 120, 130,000 over the last 3 years. Really more like 150, something like that. So that's why it stands out. We've kind of allocated it differently. And then of course, looking to reduce our, reliance on consulting.
Gotcha. That's great. I was just wondering if it were realistic based off of previous years, fiscal years. That's great to hear that it's possible. Second quick question that I had was, again, probably, I think in the last meeting, I asked about the archives, and one of the things that you said may be possible is outsourcing or contracting someone to digitize the archives. And I know that we're paying into it to the central services for that, but I'm wondering if how the board can essentially propose that we contract someone to go ahead and digitize the archive so that we're not continuously paying that fee every single year.
Okay. You know, Mariah, that's a good point, but I want to, if we may, defer that. I do think that's something to look into, but that's not going to affect our, this budget that we need to, look at right now.
Sure.
So, you know, looking at alternative ways to fund the archive preservation.
Yep, that's fine. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Wayne.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Kamal, for a thorough, report and a thorough budget. I appreciate all your work. I just want to tell the Chair, Mariah kind of stole some of my thunder. Next time, choose me first.
But, hand up faster, buddy.
I know. But I was just looking at the, tower rent and wondering how did the tower rent come? Is the tower rent coming down? We paying less for that now. And, I'm just looking at the utilities right under the tower rent. That has increased. Is it some kind of balance there? I mean,
So that's one of the things that we're trying to ascertain. The tower rent, is truly the rent. You know, due to the fact that we've been paying, some of those fees late. So the tower rent actuals in those prior years, you're looking at the 81, the 79, those are all due to the fact that we're, paying some late fees, associated with the rent. So that's what we're trying to do is just give us the true cost of the tower, which is at 61, and holding true to that and not being late, we should come in there. During this year, the utilities kind of vary. So we're trying to really figure out that 92 is almost, bit of a safety in the way in which, prior management kind of explained it. They didn't feel like they wanted to reduce that. So this will be a trial year to kind of see where we land. And then maybe that'll get updated for the 25 budget. That's really what it is.
Quickly, there's no internet, cost in 22 and 23. You didn't have that information?
That information was buried in the phone cost. Oh, okay. So the telephone cost had a bunch of that. Yeah. Okay. So we peeled so that out. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Great job. Absolutely.
Thank you, my bro.
I know we are over on this, but since this is one of our two constitutional responsibilities, I'm going to, keep it flowing for a while here. Irene, you're next.
Yeah, thank you. Kamal, great job on this. I just had a couple of clarifying questions. One is, would this number, that 42,000, be a lot less if we actually put the relocation amount to what we actually have instead of this number that probably needs to be broken down to 200,000?
Well, no, the way we did the relocation amount is we have a $200,000 goal on the revenue side to raise $200,000 to move or relocate. And then we also have the exact same amount offsetting that in the expense line as the cost of relocation. So the obligation is to raise the $200,000 to offset the cost. So that it would be a net zero to the bottom line. You still have that same 42.
Okay. Thank you for that understanding, because it was working in my mind. And the other is, are some of these, when we were hearing our financial report over the last year or two, we were hearing about this and that past due. Is this proposed FY 2024, is that also, does that include these numbers, or is that the wish that we have paid this stuff off and that, or whatever was past due, has disappeared?
No. So what the approach was to look at the trend, which is why you have those three fiscal years, and to be reasonable about any pluses or minuses. So reasonable about adding any additional revenue, not really You know, a lot of people think they can raise, you know, X amount of money, but we have to be, you know, kind of reasonable about that number. And then of course, on the other side, looking at the trend in terms of the expense lines and then being reasonable about trying to reduce those. So things like the phone bill, so Minerva has offered her assistance there, having some expertise around interpreting and understanding, phone services. We hope to, after that review, kind of reduce that number. So even though we've kind of got it at the trend, of where we were, we think that there'll be some savings. So yeah, there are some late fees built in, but, or in the, history, but, we're hoping to get that reduced as we move forward. Okay. So this budget will be updated. Yeah.
Okay. And are we paying attention to questions in the chat or no?
I haven't been yet. Ron?
How's it going, Kamal?
Hey, Ron.
Two questions, man. The consultants, the dramatic reduction in consultant fees. Is that because of, reassignments, Pacifica taking responsibilities for, people that we may have been paying, or what accounts for that dramatic, decrease? I'm glad to see it, but you know, what do we know? Are we losing personnel?
Yeah. So two things. Yeah. There's a reduction due to the fact that the chief engineer is moving off of the books of WPFW. So what that means is that the chief engineer now will report to the national office. The national office will be responsible for his usage, for lack of a better term, but it'll be in and around the network. And so when we need assistance locally, the fees associated with that particular event, that request, you will see that hit our financials, but ultimately all of his activity won't come back to, WPFW. The other piece is that we did have sprinkled in throughout the year, different consultants for things like development and other activities along the lines of board ops. We anticipate those going away. So that also is going to reduce the cost of the consulting line. So those are the two things that are impacting the numbers there.
Okay. And one more clarification or confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
For $42,000, we can balance this budget. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Minerva.
All right. Thank you, Kamal, for the report. The information shared is beginning to make some things clearer. Now, when we vote in reference to whether or not this goes to the national finance, does that still allow time, even though it goes to them and they vote to accept it, the finance committee will still be looking at this information to look for actuals or look for ways that we can reduce down below this $42,000. Is that correct?
Yeah, we expect to be able to receive from the national office the actual activity over the first 6 months of this fiscal year and kind of marry that to this annual budget that we're discussing. And there may be some pluses and minuses. We may be on a trend where we're exceeding the revenue number for the year. We may be on a trend where we're coming in a lot less in terms of our costs. So all that has to be ascertained once we get an idea of exactly where we are in the actuals for the first 6 months of this year.
Okay. And is at any point in time, will there be like an internal audit, or is all of this left to the national finance to make that happen?
No. The committee expects to be able to review the actual activity each month against the budget and make recommendations from there. So that'll be our assignment going forward.
Okay. And I guess real quick, is there a possibility that we would be able to go outside of the committee and get someone not part of WPFW to do an audit of our books?
I don't know. I mean, that would be the board would have to want to invest and then, you know, how to compensate the individual, or if they did it for free, I'm sure that would be fine. But yeah, I have no opposition to that at all. I mean, an audit would be fantastic.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think, I don't see any other hands right now. So let me take this opportunity to ask if there are any objections to us as a board accepting this, fiscal year 24 budget as presented, understanding that it is a work of progress, understanding that it is also 6 months late. You know, we're halfway through the fiscal year and, the committee will begin working on a, FY25 budget, pretty soon. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the budget is accepted. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it.
Yes. Yes. Go ahead, Kamau.
We going into relocation or?
Yeah, why don't you just queue it up? We're 6 minutes before community comment, but just give us the outline and then we'll go come back to it.
Okay, sure. So the relocation committee has been meeting each Wednesday except for the nights in which the LSB meets. We meet on Wednesdays from 7:30 to about 9:30, 10 o'clock, depending on everybody's kind of appetite. Over those last month's meetings, we have moved from what this board and this audience had received at the last LSB meeting, which was that American University has a possible space for us to lease. And we have dug into that information in our meetings to ascertain the viability of this particular opportunity. As it stands, we've got a scheduled viewing of that property for this coming Friday. Okay, Friday afternoon, we have a group of the committee members, along with the chief engineer, it's very important, we'll go over there and see if this particular site and this property works out for us. One of the important things that I want everyone to understand, because this came out subsequent to the last LSB meeting, what came out and revealed was that the cost for this particular property may be a lot higher than was stated during the last meeting. All right. We don't have a quote. We don't have any proposal from them, but it's our determination based on the conversations had in committee that we don't believe that the very, very fantastic cost that was presented is obtainable, for this particular property. All right. So I just want to kind of get that out so we don't have to go back and forth about who was right or wrong. It just, the way it's being flushed out is that what we thought was going to be a fantastic cost is just not obtainable, for this property. So that's that. That's the major one I think a lot of people were anticipating us discussing. So more to come on the American University, opportunity. Okay. Yeah. You want to go any questions on that one or just want
to? Yeah. Any questions from the board on that one? And then we'll go to community comment and come back to relocation.
Yeah, that's good.
Vanessa and Ron, and then we'll move on.
Kamau, tell me if it's not okay to ask. Is it okay to know what the actual cost would be rather than what we were informed? And I understand if it's not appropriate or not okay.
No, I don't think it's inappropriate. Yeah, so based on the discussions that we had in our committee, the cost is in the neighborhood between $10,000 and $15,000 a month.
And what was the original what we were told?
Originally, the statement at this meeting last month was $1,200 a month.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay. Ron?
Yeah, I'd like to emphasize this. We don't know what the actual cost will be.
That's correct.
And that's very, very important. So it could be less than 10, or, you know, we don't know the range. So once again, that's a work in progress. And so I just wanted to make that clear to everybody that, you know, we don't know what the actual cost will be until we sit down and have a conversation with these folks.
Okay. Correct. Irene, you got 90 seconds before community comment to make your comment.
I just want to know how much rent can we pay? And maybe our approach, and just a suggestion, just off the top of my head, maybe our approach would be looking for a place where we can make an offer. Hey, this is how much we can pay. looking at this, we can pay you this. Can you take that offer? Because I'm looking at a real estate market out here that's a renter's market. And so maybe that can be our approach instead of letting them dictate to us what we need to pay, but offering them what we want to pay or what we are able to pay.
Quick comment?
Yeah. I mean, we've made that approach, that we've done it from the bottom up. We've said, here's our minimum space requirements. And based on that minimum space requirements, we know that, we want to pay, in the neighborhood of $25, no more than $30 a square. So if we stick to that goal, those measurements and that, cost per square, we should come in under, between, you know, somewhere between 10 or 12, maybe even under 10,000, a year. I'm sorry, a month for our costs. So. That's the goal, is to get the proper space and then make sure the rate per square foot fits what we want to pay.
Okay. Perfect. All right. We are now to community comment. And I see Eric Ramey's hand up. So go ahead, Eric.
I'm sorry. Before you go, Eric, I'm sorry. Are you timing anything, Mr. Chair?
Huh?
Are you timing anything or no?
Yeah, let's say, 2 minutes first round.
2 minutes. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to acknowledge, Danny Pialago. He's a long time programmer. His last show was, Sunday before last. He did a fine job. And just also like to take a moment to acknowledge Annette Carson, our office manager, who kept this ship fueled, afloat, and fully operational before, throughout, and after the pandemic. She handled accounts payable, accounts receivable, payroll, and assorted other duties. Thank you so much, Annette. During our last meeting, through sheer negligence, I failed to acknowledge one of our fallen angels, Reuben Jackson. He was a jazz scholar, a critic, a playwright, a poet, and of course a WPFW programmer, always with a pleasant smile on his face. He died February 16th at a hospital in the district, several days after suffering a stroke. He was a self-described introvert who liked to talk a lot. He was a prominent but paradoxical figure in the district's art scene. He published two poetry collections, including Fingering the Keys in 1990. Two of its sections were named for songs of Jimi Hendrix, while individual poems referenced musicians, including John Coltrane and Thelonious Monk. Scattered Clouds was published in 2019. Many of his poems ended with a jolt of sly humor. Reuben played both the clarinet and tenor sax. He was a self-taught guitarist. He loved jazz. He, became fond of it through his father's record collection. Music served as his gateway. For 20 years, he worked as an archivist and curator at the Smithsonian Museum of American History, where he helped organize and safeguard the Duke Ellington collection, a treasure trove of music, stage costumes, studio tapes, Grammy Awards, music stands, and other articles. He joined the museum in 1989 after it acquired the bulk of the archive from the Ellington estate. 2 years later, the museum acquired additional manuscripts and memorabilia from his sister, Ruth Ellington. Ruben was 67 years old. His best known poem is for Trayvon Martin. It goes, "Instead of sleeping, I walk with him from the store. No Skittles, thank you. We do not talk much. Sneakers crossing the courtyard. Humid summer night. We shake hands and hug. Ancient stoic tenderness. I nod to the moon. I'm so old school. I hang till the latch clicks, sounding like an unloaded gun." Thank you, Ruben. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Eric. Marty.
I think Lou was before me. I saw his hand before me.
Okay, Lou.
I'll just go ahead quickly here. I'm very concerned about the way the Festival Center was denied to us after they were approached by a couple of people. They know who they are. And they were ready to accept us at the Festival Center. We did a tour of the Festival Center. It was exactly what we needed. And suddenly we learned that we had lost it because of what was told to the executive director of the Festival Center.
We don't know that.
I bring this up. May I finish?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
In light of the report tonight from Kamau, it will cost us perhaps $200,000 to relocate. And I just point out and repeat for the board that we would have not had to pay spend $200,000 because we would have been at the Festival Center. And I really wonder, I mean, it defies imagination what those folks that spoke to the executive director of the Festival Center, what was in their mind by denying us that space. And may I finish on a separate issue? The Washington Post reported about concerning Palestine last Saturday, an article, and I can hold it up here.
30 seconds.
Israel's targeting tool offers a glimpse into the terrifying world of military AI. And this was reported by a progressive journal, Plus 972 in Israel. It reported that the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, had a list of some 37,000 people that they were targeting using AI for assassination. It just is totally crazy. And I know Democracy Now! Did a good report on this past week. Thank you.
Thank you. Marty?
Good evening, everyone. First of all, Eric, thank you for that tribute to Reuben Jackson. It was needed. I appreciate your contribution. I'd like to say congratulations to the GM on his retirement. And also my hat's off to the programmers for raising money for the relocation. It's unfortunate that it has to be done. However, it's being done, especially in the light of they are going to have to prepare for the fundraiser in May. So they have a lot on them, and my congratulations to them for their hard work. I also agree with what Lou said. You know, there still has been no clarification about why we didn't get the Festival Center, no accountability. It would be nice if the community would get that information, because quite frankly, several people have texted me and said they're no longer going to contribute to WPFW because of what's going on there. They're hearing things. They're not getting any clarification about what happened. So just as a community supporter, just wanted to let the LSB know that. Last thing, the events that are happening at some of the clubs where you're raising money. Months ago, I heard about the Programmers Coalition, and now I'm hearing about the Programmers Association. Could someone please tell me what's the difference between those two organizations? And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, if there is someone on the call who can give a direct answer to that last question within about a minute, Miyuki?
Yes, the name change of the Programmers Coalition went back to Programmers Association. The name was only, there was a Programmers Association about 15 years ago or 10 years ago, maybe. And when we started back up, we called ourselves the Programmers Coalition to differentiate until, and that was all on me, not looking up exactly what coalition means. And so I had switched it back to Programmers Association after an LSB meeting, and people were upset with Programmers Coalition, but it's the same group of people trying to support the station.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sabu.
I see two hands. Oh, those are board members here.
Yeah.
I just want to remind everybody about, April the 14th at the, VIP room from 3 to 7. The, outreach committee, is sponsoring that. And, I'm assuming, the outreach committee will talk about it more. I'll be around if any questions need to be asked. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments from the community? Okay, Marty, you got a minute for round two.
Okay, just another question. I listened to the breakdown of the $200,000 cost of moving, relocating to another space. Was there a calculation about how much it would have cost if we moved to the Festival Center? Was that done?
I don't believe it was, but Kamau, do you have any information on that?
The folks managing that move at the time, we asked probably a dozen times for the breakdown, never received it.
Who was asked? The finance committee or who?
The Festival Center was managed by the former general manager, and I believe one of the programmers for the station. So we were looking to get that information from them, and we never received that.
Other comments from the community? Sue, is your comment directly in response to anything that was to a question from the community? If not, I'll have to hold it till later. Sue Goodwin? Yeah.
Hi. A quick note. Someone brought up AI and weapons. We did a very strong piece on Monday Morning QB this week on that, if you want to check back and listen.
You're breaking up.
Is this better?
Not really.
Hello?
Hello? You did a piece on AI at, Monday Morning TV. Okay, I'm really... Yeah, you're not coming through, Sue. I'm sorry. Ron, is this in response to one of the comments?
Yes.
All right, quickly.
I just want to remind folks that the LSB took a vote on the Festival Center and determined that it was not, in our best interest to move. So it wasn't a couple of individuals as being described. The entire board voted on that issue. Right. And that's how that vote came down. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. All right. Hold on, because if we are not getting any more questions from the community, then we need to return to the relocation report. So I want to take a minute and see if there aren't any other questions or comments. Anyone trying to get on? Anyone on the phone? Going once, going twice, going three times. Okay, back to you, Kamau. Finish relocation.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
All right. So what we were able to ascertain from the wonderful PSA that. I'm going to pump Addie up. She's put together a nice PSA, and we decided to solicit ideas and contributions from the community, and we've got a lot of good returns on that. We have an opportunity. We're going to be investigating now. All of these are just opportunities. We haven't vetted them yet, so I'm bringing them to you pretty much without a lot of detail. These are just things that have come in, so bear with the committee as we sift through these. But I just wanted you to get a sense and an idea of what has come to us and been forwarded since we started that PSA. There's an opportunity in Boston, Virginia, that we're going to investigate potential property there. There's also a property on...
No, not yet. I'm in a meeting.
There's also a property on Brentwood Road, Northeast. So there'll be more to come there. We're checking to see if that property has some viability. Somebody also came forward with a possibility of a space within DCTV. So we'll be investigating that opportunity as well as it's come in. There are a couple of more that actually came in via email just a couple of days ago. Let me pull those up. And they are a listener has forwarded a possible relocation at 202 Riggs Road Northeast. The site is a little large. I have a flyer here that the committee will take a look at. But it's an opportunity nonetheless. So we're tasked with kind of looking at each of these. So 202 Riggs Road Northeast DC. There's another opportunity at 33330 North Washington Boulevard. This is actually out in North Kirkwood in Arlington, Virginia. So we'll take a look at that. And so far, those are the ones that I have here. I'm sorry, we got one more. We did a little bit of vetting on this one already. It's 1016 Bladensburg Road Northeast, and it had a great floor plan, excellent space, about 40, almost 4,500 square feet at a really reasonable price. However, it was a walk-up. So we determined that that was not going to be in our best interest to try and rent on a second floor walk-up there. And plus, it was a little farther away than we wanted from metro and public transportation. So those are the things that we have in the hopper that we're vetting right now. The committee has also made a second visit. Okay, so I don't know if you all remember, but last month we reported on a property, 1110 Bonifant Street, that's in Silver Spring, Maryland. We had an opportunity to visit that property and made a second visit because we wanted to determine if the broadcast, we were able to broadcast effectively from this particular location. So the chief engineer came out. He was able to do some testing and determined that it was a site that the signal would be strong enough and well enough supported for all that we need to do as a radio broadcast. He also thought the property was really well put together. It's a pretty new building, and felt like it was an adequate space, you know, for our new home. So we're looking to determine pricing and costs on this particular property going forward to see if it's something that the landlord and ownership would be willing to accept in terms of our we'll call it demands. So those are the handful of things that we have. Oh, I'm sorry. There's another property at those of us over in Tacoma Park will know this building at 6930, what's the address? Sorry about that.
Isn't that Carroll?
Yeah,
Carroll. Yep.
6930 Carroll. And, it's a property that the, chief engineer, I don't know if Sarah's on, but I'm going to tease her a little bit. They were really excited because, you can get a straight line view of the tower from this particular property. So I guess that's a really good thing. And, so we're looking to get in and to see some of the suites that are available there at that particular location. So that's what the committee is doing. We're moving forward diligently. There are a few properties that our broker has left on the table. We're still trying to get in to a handful of properties downtown. I did hear, and the committee has heard, some pushback from the community. So we accept that and understand the concerns there, but we did want to see a couple of properties downtown just to determine, you know, if they're something that may fit. But we're still waiting to hear back from some of the landlords to determine if we can actually view those properties. They're on 15th Street, 17th Street, 18th, 20th, New York Avenue, and a New Hampshire Avenue location. So that's what I have right now. So I'll take any questions.
Okay. Well, all right. Before we go to questions, I just want to, just for a moment. Pat, I know you said that you needed to leave. We obviously haven't gotten to the mass committee yet. So, I just want to know if there's somebody else that you can tap to flesh out that report, after you need to step out.
Yeah, so I'm sending a text now to Irene and to Robert. So I'll take care of it. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right.
You're welcome.
Irene, I know you've been waiting patiently with your hand up there. I hope that's a relocation question. If so, you're first in line.
Yeah, yes, it is. They are we looking to find somewhere that's close to a tower proximity? That tower in Silver Spring, right there on George Avenue, the World Building, WGAY, that's sitting there. There's so many towers right there in downtown Silver Spring, but there's also a properties near the old Fox station, on Wisconsin Avenue, Wisconsin and Garrison that's maybe viable. If we're looking for something close to a tower that we can possibly tap into, strong tower, because these towers have been there for quite some time and are strengthening, I know. Is that the goal, finding somewhere where there is a tower? What is it with a strong transmitter, or what's that
yeah,
looking like?
Yeah, the way the chief engineer explained it to me was that was not of primary importance. It is helpful that a direct line view of the tower is available, but it is not of primary, that we should ascertain the financial aspects of the deal first, you know, while he is able to kind of figure out the technical piece. But yes, if we have a straight line view. Now, all those towers you speak about aren't necessarily our tower. So there's also that towers that you're seeing Silver Spring actually would pose potentially some interference with our transmission, which is why the chief engineer had to go out there to Bonifant and do some testing. So it really actually is the reverse, that if you see some other towers hanging around, that potentially could interfere with what we're doing, not necessarily assist.
That's exactly why I asked that question, Kamal. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, one quick note. I believe the committee did look at a space that may actually have been in the same building where Fox used to be up on Wisconsin. Yeah. So it's still on the list, but it's not at the top of the list. Also, all of those properties around there obviously we're going to negotiate, we would negotiate everything, but they're starting asking prices a lot higher than some of the other places, but.
Correct.
Yeah, but we did, that is an area that has been looked at. Okay, Ron.
Yeah, just a quick footnote. The engineer, Mo told us sometime back that line of sight is, you know, preferable, but it's not absolutely necessary because of the technology, because of, cabling and fiber optics and all that stuff. So, that's not going to be, the only determining factor. And the other issue is this, we will not be renegotiating with another tower. We will be on the AMU tower, you know, until that contract runs out. So, that's, you know, a reminder on that also. Thanks.
Okay. Other, relocation questions or comments? Okay, great. Next up is the Management Assessment and Selection Committee. Pat, are you still here? Do you want to hand off or yeah. Who's going to start?
Yeah, I'm just going to I just want to do real quick and then I'm going to turn it over to Vice Chair Robert Gordon there.
Okay.
Real quick. Just, the committee has been working really, really hard. We've had three meetings since the last LSB. We know how critical this committee is in getting a new GM. So we've been working on it real hard. Part of the committee, Robert Gordon, Vice Chair, I Jefferson, Secretary Minerva Sanders is on, Tony Leone, Werner Avery Brown, Ambrose Lane, Ron Pinchback, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Kamau Harris, and Wayne Bruce. This has been a really work total committee. We've had different subcommittees. We've had different things that everybody has picked up. And I really appreciate everybody on this committee giving the full effort. It has taken us a little longer than we expected, but we didn't want to rush through a process that is so critical to the station. With that, I will turn it over to Vice Chair Robert Gordon.
Thank you, Pat. And for the record, it's Irene Adams.
I know, Irene Adams. I am so sorry. You know, she's going to kill me. I know she is. And she covers my back
you.
All the time.
I'm trying to
I know,
save
first time. Okay, Irene, I apologize. I'll make it up somehow. Anyway.
Okay, Robert, you have the floor.
All right. Thanks, Dennis and Pat. Don't worry, Pat. I'll protect you, man. I got your back on that. I think I can handle Irene. Maybe. But
I don't think so, Robert, but that's good. Yeah.
All right. And I'll just say real quick, any of the other, committee members who want to jump in, we get to that point, please feel free to jump in, especially in Pat's absence, to fill in any details or correct any mistakes that I make. In giving this sort of off the cuff report as to some aspects of what we've been doing. I agree fully with everything Pat's, said before that. The committee has been doing a wonderful job. I think that's not self-congratulation. It's just good to see us working together, towards a common goal. And I don't think anybody could dispute that at this point. I think at this point, the two most important items that we've worked on, are the, job notice and the vacancy announcement. And if Irene is still here, she has been the one sort of spearheading that. I'd like to turn it over to her for that portion of the report. And again, you know, deferring to any other folks who have worked closely with her on that or any other committee members who'd like to speak. Is that okay, Irene?
That's fine, Robert. Thank you.
Go ahead. Sure.
I just want to add, the last meeting was just awesome. The camaraderie shown in that meeting and the way that we came together and got that thing done, that vacancy announcement done, was just awesome. And I just want to pat the whole team on the back on that, because that was probably one of the biggest obstacles that we could have accomplished. We did finish the ad, and our intention is to put this particular pay, the ad in certain, trade anywhere where it's free. First of all, anywhere that's free to advertise, with the link to the vacancy announcement, which would be put on the websites, the Pacifica and mainly the WPFW and the Pacifica websites. And we can put them on other stations' websites as well and put them in, put this in, but we will not put the vacancy announcement in a trade magazine because it's so big and we don't want to take up a whole lot of space on things. So our next, those are our next steps, is to get this paid advertisement out so that it provides the link to the vacancy announcement so that we can begin collecting resumes for this position. We have a Google account set up to receive any resumes. We decided that we would only receive electronic copies of the resumes. And we're moving along. We're moving along. And out there, and Minerva is heading up the next steps, which is the review process. And so if Minerva can take over, I'll pass that to her.
I think Ron wants to make a comment, and he is a committee. If that's okay, Ron. Dennis, is that okay?
Yeah. Okay, Ron, then Minerva.
Yes. One of the things that we also worked on was the job description. And, you know, we came up with a, what we felt was a fair and adequate job description. We cannot share it tonight because the executive director wants to see the final draft before making it public. Is that correct, Robert?
Correct. Correct.
And that's the only point I wanted to make. That's it. It is a great group. Thank you.
Yep.
Before you start, Minerva, I just want a quick question. Is there a, I know everything is fluid. Is there a desired or estimated timeline for when you might be able to start, looking to receive, resumes? Is that premature at this point?
Well, I'd say it's a little bit premature for me to give, you know, that we've said this or said that with respect to that, because we really haven't.
Okay.
The committee that Minerva is, the subcommittee that Minerva is going to be heading up is really going to be in charge of that. And that committee's, first meeting will be on Monday.
Okay.
It's a function of the committee organizing itself, and also a function of, you know, the resumes coming in and us getting a chance to look at them. I think that's the fairest response, but why don't I kick it to Minerva now?
Good segue. Minerva?
Yes, good evening, everyone. And as Ron stated, the subcommittee that will be looking at the resumes as they are provided will be, our meeting will be on Monday, which is the 15th, and the meeting will be at 6 p.m. So it'll be a Zoom meeting, and a link and everything will go out. And in that process, we will begin to put together what's called the checklist for evaluating the resumes that come in and identifying the individuals that would then move forward to the next step of being considered for interviews. But first, we have to come up with what our evaluation criteria will be. So that's what we'll be working on Monday. Okay.
And yes. Dennis, just
go ahead, Robert. Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, Minerva. I didn't mean to jump in before
you. No problem.
Just to wrap up with what Minerva was saying, the only other thing that we've done, and kind of like probably the most time consuming, in terms of actual, you know, contact with the community and getting that feedback, would be the surveys. And just to give a quick report on that, this was a subcommittee that, I was on, Tony was on, and Ambrose was on. No chairperson. We were all equal members, equal participants, and equal, servers of this committee. The survey was intended to gain feedback from all of our stakeholders, listeners, donors, programmers, volunteers, et cetera, to help us in framing, the criteria for the GM search. The survey was announced as a part of Ron's program the Friday before the town hall to try and encourage people to show up. One more good reason to show up for the town hall, to participate in the survey. And that was debuted at the town hall through Ambrose's able presentation. It's my understanding that we got 18 written responses that day at the town hall. And then it was posted in the form of a Survey Monkey on WPFW's website, And Tony gets all the credit for that. He did a wonderful job. I hope you all at least looked at it or maybe even responded to it. But bravo to Tony for taking the lead on that and posting up the survey, which was a joint effort by the subcommittee and then approved by the MASC itself before it was put out there. The original response deadline was April 3rd, I believe, and then we decided to expand that to just this past Monday, April 8th. And I think Tony said today we got 73 responses. I'm not sure if that's the total or if that's electronic and written, and maybe Tony can give us some clarification on that. It was promoted through PSAs on the station and also emailed out to listeners and staff members. And I want to thank Miyuki and Katia for giving assistance on that. And anybody else that was involved too. If I'm leaving your name out, it's not intentional. And the results of the survey will be used to help guide the committee that Minerva just described and all of us on this committee in coming up with criteria and questions for the candidates. And then also in the aftermath to guide, help guide the new GM when that person is selected. And that's the report, Dennis. Anybody else want to jump in from the committee?
Did you have anything to add, Tony?
Yeah. As of today, that number has jumped up to 80 online. Wow. So in addition to the 18, that's a total of 98 respondents that we have.
That's great.
And I'm sure that number will continue to go up before the deadline. This SurveyMonkey tool is incredible. It has analysis in there on the results. It breaks down in percentages and numbers the category of respondents, so on and so forth. And right now, the majority of the respondents are members of the station. Second to that are listeners, and then third are programmers with volunteer and staff following after that. So it'll be interesting to see the results of the survey and what the group is going to be able to do with that in our mission.
Yeah, and just I filled out the survey today. And I just want to encourage everyone in the Zoom room tonight, delegates and community members alike, to also, if you have not done the survey yet, to do so. Looks like we'll go over 100, and that's a good showing. Good work for everybody. Any final questions or comments for the MASC folks before we move on?
Okay, and Tony, the final date for doing this survey, is that the 12th?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
That'll be this Friday.
Okay, thank you.
We're at time, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Community outreach. No, I'm sorry. Development committee. Irene.
I'm coming, Dennis.
Okay.
The development committee did meet last month, and appreciating the input of Sataria and Art in the meeting, there were some good things that came out of, and our report was submitted to Ellen right after. We did discuss some marketing materials and provided a wish list with some costs in it for some items, some giveaway items that we could use for events that are coming up. Oh, I gotta take a breath. We talked about the WPFW newsletter. Arthur had reached out to Benny looking for suggested programmer interview, and Arthur can chime in and let you know what the report is on that. He can also chime in and talk about the concert fundraiser that he's been working on. He's had an excellent idea, and we were looking at it to to see where we could jump in and help him out. He's reached out to a couple of venues, so I'll let him report on that when I'm done. Sataria reminded us about the fundraisers and we talked about where we can jump in and help with those things. I am going to be working with Sataria and Minerva on getting the thank you gifts out. I will also be working with Sataria on a donor letter. We are looking to take a look at the existing templated solicitation letter and see if that we can get that out to some big donors. We're also looking for students to get them to help volunteer and receive community hours to help Benny out. Arthur also volunteered to help with the promo gifts, and suggestion was made to commit to the upcoming fundraising events, and we did. Mayuki also handed over the development to Sataria as she's transitioning into the IGM position, and that was accepted. Our action items is to assist with the promo gifts, activate the sign-in sheet for volunteers so that they can get their volunteer hours. We're thinking about collaborating with the programming committee to do something for the programmers, something like another programmer's appreciation where programmers can get to know LSB members. There was a suggestion made to find places like Haynes Point as opposed to having to pay for restaurants and stuff like that. And that has places that we can park and drive to, something outdoors possibly. And we found that many of our committee members from the program outreach and development committee that have been making purchases to help WPFW, but we need a copy of the tax-free letter so that members can make those purchases tax-free. So we aim to get that. And that's our report. Our next meeting, of course, is, it's April, I think, 28th. And, we look forward to exciting because Sataria, we're going to be working on that solicitation letter, and that's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And that's it for my report.
All right. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Keep up the good work. Thank you. Who from, we have, I guess, four PNB directors. Would someone like to take a lead and let us know what's going on there that is not classified? Because I know some of that stuff is.
Dennis, was Vanessa, did she get back in? I know that she said
that. I did. Thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate that.
All right, Vanessa, you going to take the lead?
No, I will defer to the vice chair.
Okay.
No. Oh, not at this time. What I'm going to do differently this evening is allow the other members to have a say. I think you gave us a total of 5 minutes. No, so each person will have isn't that 5 minutes on there?
No, that's 10.
10. Okay. Well, good. Then we get a little bit more time, 2 minutes each. But, and I muted myself. I feel that every member should have the opportunity to share with the board their information that they've gleaned or gathered from the PNB meetings. And then I can report last. So, Vanessa, what would you like to share with the board?
I do not have any information to share at this time that is not deemed to be confidential. Perhaps the others of you do. But I will leave it to Irene and you, to give the committee reports, since you all are on the committees.
Okay. Ron, what would you like to share?
I have the same response. The things that were of significance were the things that were done in executive session. And unfortunately, we cannot report on those things.
Okay. So, Irene, what would you like to share, please? Okay. She may have stepped away.
I haven't. Here I am. I was muted. I'm sorry. The audit committee did not meet, due to the fact that, it's not an audit being done right now, but we do plan to meet in the near future because we need to find an independent auditor for, so that we can get them on board so that they are ready, have the money to do an audit. The personnel committee, has intention to meet it within the next month as well. One of the things that, we'll be working on from what my understanding is our universal or templated programmer's bill of rights, grievance processes, things like that, that will make things uniform, make those policies uniform across the foundation. So that's our charge for the next few months, is to find the policies that impact the programmers and personnel and make them uniform so that everyone's following the same guidelines. And I found that to be very interesting because the grievance processes across the board for Pacifica stations go in very different directions. And so they need one that ends up with the ED. And the one that's existent now, I didn't see one for WPFW. There was a kind of strange one somewhere in the operations guide, but it wasn't really clear the direct line of where a grievance should go. And so when grievances are filed, they're just filed and the GM never acted on them. So we're trying to develop a direct line that goes through each station and then ends up with the ED. And that's what I have to report.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Minerva?
Now, for myself.
Yep. You just muted yourself.
Sorry. First committee is the National Finance Committee, and they're, getting an insight as to the budgeting for all of the stations, but I was excited to hear that WPFW, even though we know that we have some shortfalls, that they continue to identify the station as one where we are doing our best to meet whatever the requirements are, and we provide a lot of input. Thank you, Kamal, for being on that committee and asking the right questions. They are looking to look at the different stations and each individual station, meaning WPFW being number one since that's where we're from, looking at the information we're providing for our budget, and as was stated earlier, being able to have time to update the information to show actual and come up with realistic budgets that the station can live with and work with, and also looking at the central services and how it has the impact it does on the different stations and probably some processes where some of the things that we're currently dealing with central services and archives may not be required in the future. But those are coming, and there's not been any decisions made in that area. The committee, governance committee, is moving forward to look at all of the current resolutions or motions that have been passed for the past several years to see those that are things that the network, Pacifica, and the PNBs and the LSBs, that it's usable by all, or some of these things that need to go away and not be kept on the books. And also looking at the bylaws for nonprofits for California to make sure we're in line with what's supposed to be done there. There was information shared regarding the underwriting criteria that Pacifica has sent out and they are encouraging all members, and I think this did go to the board, that all members of the LSBs, PMBs, and staff and others look at it so that we understand when we're reaching out to groups to look at the underwriting piece, that we understand they need to be nonprofit or be in line with the Pacifica mission. And there are some stations, I think it's WPFK, that is already working with the ED on how to move that process through their station. And she is open to other stations that may want to work with her within their stations to see how to make that happen. And she's inviting several people to work on the different task force that have been put in place for the underwriting. And I think right now, in terms of looking at the finances, she is looking for individuals that have accounting backgrounds to work with her. And this is a task group, so it's not something that is mandatory that the person be a member of the LSB or be staff or something. She's said that she's also reached out to individuals she knows that like to deal with numbers to help to see how the Pacifica financing and codes can be put in line with what would be needed for the CPB and other groups, and that all of the stations become uniform in putting together their information. So these are the things right now that I have to share. And as was stated, the last meeting of the PMB was an executive session meeting, and it was issues that were covered that cannot be shared with the public at this time. So that's the report.
Can you remind us what the, there were, a few of the task forces that the ED was looking for folks for. Can you remind us what those were?
Well, the ones that she has in place right now is the, like I said, the one dealing with the finance. Mm-hmm. There is one dealing with technology where she's wanting individuals to bring information forward about any current technology or items that are any systems that we can look at. And
then underwriting, is that a separate one?
Yeah, underwriting is a separate one.
Okay.
Right. And like I said, she wants to, the station, she's working with stations, and there is one station, and I think she mentioned one other, but there is one that is currently, and she said they're doing very well in how they're dealing with doing the underwriting process. So.
Okay.
That is what she shared.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay.
I see questions or comments from Kamau and Ron in that order.
Yes, I had a quick question, excuse me, for the report that Irene presented in and around the programmer's Bill of Rights, being a programmer. In your opinion, Irene, do you feel like that the PMB kind of making that a priority for them creates a bit of a top-down approach as opposed to kind of organically generating that particular document from the bottom up? And what would your position be in terms of how you would address that at the PMB?
Well, first of all, I think that the programmers for Pacifica is not a top-down. That's a top-up. The programmers are the most, to me, are the most important people in this foundation because they're the money raisers. That's how I feel about that. And my stance is to protect programmers with all my heart and soul. That's how I feel about that. So if there's a way that, if there's a process or a templated way to help them deal with rogue PDs and rogue management, then I think I'm protecting them.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, Ron.
Yeah. when Irene just mentioned rogue PDs and such, we also have some rogue programmers out there too. But that's, once again, that's why this rights issue is so important. The other thing is this about underwriting. The PFW has a unique grid. And I think it's going to become necessary. I think it is necessary that, you know, for us to understand that underwriting, will become the lay of the land, sooner rather than later. That said, I think that, this LSB, will have to, you know, form a committee to deal specifically with, the underwriting, policies and how WPOW wants to approach it. Because it is up to us, fortunately, at this juncture, because it is so experimental. So, that'll be a motion I put forward at the next meeting, that we form an underwriting committee of this board, to vet the policies, and, set up, you know, policies that will protect the station and of course the network. Cause that's the issue right now, protecting, you know, the network and the station from the FCC and other governing bodies, because we're not, you know, because we're doing something wrong. You know, it's not that we're doing it intentionally, but because we don't understand, you know, their policies. So that's all I wanted to add to this.
I'm going to make a suggestion, Ron, that maybe in the interim you get together with a couple of other folks who might form the beginnings of that committee and just sort of put some basic principles down, so we have something in writing to vote for, like what are some of the you know, the parameters or guiding principles or goals for the committee. And then we can let me know, you know, before, at least a week before the meeting, and we can get it on the agenda.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Very much appreciate that. Anybody interested, can shoot me an email or a text.
Okay.
And we'll make that happen.
Right. Thank you.
Check the chat, Ron.
We're at time.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Ron, you check the chat. I'm going to go to community outreach. Violetta, before you begin, I just want to congratulate you and the group on the town hall. And I want to say for the record that half of the LSB was in attendance. So congratulations to us as well.
Thank you. On behalf of the committee, good evening, everybody. And we meet the first Tuesday of each month. We met on April 2nd. And participating were Marsha Edwards, Sabu Hakeem, Arthur Highland, Irene Adams, Mariah McCain, Martha Peterson, Minerva Sanders, Gloria Turner, and myself. We did discuss the town hall, and we were pleased too that there was more involvement from the community and the board members, and people felt that the location was nice, and we would be looking at where we will, you know, our next one. We did talk about the Zoom and the chat function, and you know, next time being sure that it is recorded. But we did send out a list of suggestions about, you know, involving youth with the station. The second thing, it was the retirement party for the general manager, Jerry. It will be located at the VIP room, which everybody probably heard about by now, 6201 3rd Street, Northwest, April 14th from 3 to 7. It's not a fundraiser, and Sabu is the chairperson for that subcommittee. So if you need further information, contact him. We talked about the newsletter, but Irene reported on that. Art is working on it. He talked about who he was going to interview and the proposal about, you know, connecting with some jazz venues. And we didn't have time to discuss the relevant suggestions for the outreach committee on reaching out to the community, but we plan to have that on our next agenda for our next meeting. And that was about it.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Mariah.
Hi there. I'm just wondering if time allows, I don't know how much time we have left for the outreach committee report, but if anyone wanted to offer feedback that we can take or either via email from the town hall that we can consider.
I think we have a couple of minutes.
Great. Yeah, if anybody has feedback, I think we would all appreciate any feedback.
Anyone?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
I didn't hear it clearly, but I was out of the country when we had the town hall. But what I was trying to hear was some kind of results as to how the town hall went. Maybe I wasn't listening clearly, but I didn't hear it. I couldn't say one way or the other what happened from the report I just heard.
You wanted to know about the agenda at the town hall?
Yes.
Okay. Well, basically, we have a report from the general manager, from the program director. The MASC committee did a survey and gave an update. And we had a survey about how to involve the youth. We had community comment period. And I think that was about it. Is we got positive responses. We didn't do a survey about how it was, you know, how people felt about it, but it went as we planned.
We have a head count. How many people showed up?
I would say it was about maybe 35 or so. And then we had about 20 something on Zoom.
And let me just say that a lot of the conversation beyond the reports was a good lively session about ideas to getting younger folks involved. And that is the list of suggestions that Violetta says that she will provide us.
Okay, which is one of the reasons why I'm asking, because I did attend most of the outreach committee meeting until this one, and I know that was part of the focus, so
yeah.
It was important to hear how that turned out.
All right. Kamau, is that a legacy hand?
No, I just wanted to provide some feedback. I think it was okay, asked, yeah. Mariah. Okay. Yeah, so no, I thought the town hall, my first one attending in person was went well. I do have my feedback would be just when we talk about what the agenda is overall. I know part of it was a youth component. I felt like we could have kind of incorporated a narrative in and around, you know, what it is, kind of what we're seeing, what it is, what the market has to bear, and the impact on the station. Kind of giving a setup, if you will, you know, for the discussion. And then, you know, kind of, moving and moving it through in that manner, as opposed to, you know, kind of, hey, do you have any ideas? You know, like, let's just kind of step our game up a little bit. You know what I mean? And just, you know, present it in a way that I think a lot of our community is expecting from us, you know, expecting from us to have some authority, to have some sort of, you know, succinct presentation around the topic. So, but I thought overall it was a great session. Whoever provided that food, you know, thumbs up there. And, you know, definitely to, You know, to all those who are prepared, the Zoom, even though it wasn't the best, but I think that's the way to go to try and get more engagement. So appreciate it.
Thanks for the feedback, Mel.
Irene?
My thing was, I knew about the race, but despite the race, those that showed up were resonant about showing up because traffic was awful, awful. There was a point where I waved to Sabu and Jerry on my walk with the dogs, and I was really far away from where the location was. And I kind of, but because I was walking, I was able to give them a good route of how to get there. But despite the race, the attendance there was just awesome. And sorry I wasn't there, but I was on Zoom once I finished my walk, and it was, and on Zoom, we could hear, but we couldn't participate. And that was the hardest thing because we really wanted to participate. We had some folks on that Zoom that had some great input, and we took some information down from them. And it was, and the only other thing that was an issue was that we weren't able to record it. And that was the downfall. But otherwise, that was an awesome town hall. I'm going to say that I've been to like 6, and that was the most, that was the best. And I'm just saying, it was great. It was a great experience.
Great. Thank you. Wayne, and then we're going to move to program committee. Good feedback, folks.
Yeah, it was I was on the Zoom side early, but, the Zoom was not great. So I'm kind of averse to technically not good stuff, so I can't really listen. And so I just wanted to make the suggestion that it is a way to broadcast directly to YouTube, and set everything up, through YouTube, and people can leave their comments on YouTube and then can live there in a private link. So if you want to know how to do that, I can show you. All right. Just trying to help.
That's a great idea. Thank you. And for the record, there was more than half of the LSB there because I had not counted Wayne on the Zoom.
Thank you for now telling me.
So we had,
I was on the Zoom as well.
Yes. Yeah, but I counted you. I knew.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Minerva, program committee. You're back on stage.
Okay. The program committee, met, and, the meeting, we talked about, and I brought some of that earlier, information up earlier when we spoke with the program director, that, we're looking at and, considering ways that we will be able to get the interaction that we need between that committee and the program director based on what the bylaws say so that we can, move forward as a unit. So we're still working on that. The, issue regarding, the Pride Parade came up, and, I'm happy to hear that she stated she'll be meeting with the group that, from the committee was that Sarah and Verna and the group would meet together to talk about any issues that might be keeping Sarah and her ideas from being intertwined with what's taking place from the other group. But right now we're still waiting and to get some feedback or some information. And so hopefully by our next meeting, we'll have some information to share for the May LSB. We are concerned though that, the Pride Parade is around the corner. It's coming up in June. And so we're not going to, we may not be able to take part in this year, but maybe there is something that can be done. We do know that we have the ability to go out and interview. So hopefully maybe something like that could be put in play. So at least we have some type presence in that manner at the activity. But that's still to be worked on. If not this year, then it's not going to go away. We'll look to see what can be done for next year. Now, we did have Thomas Blanton. I don't know if Thomas is on with us right now.
He is.
I'm looking.
He is.
Okay. Oh, he's at the beach. All right. Okay. And he brought to the committee again the idea regarding Juneteenth and asked for our support in helping get that message out to get the station to work with him and his group. And I'm glad that it was shared tonight that the program director does have the information. And the one part was to bring forward a motion to the LSB board that we support him in this effort because it went so well last year, even though we were down to the wire, but it was still a good program. And I'll give him a minute or two to share his plan, if that's okay, Dennis, with the board.
If you want to, yeah, that's as long as it's
okay.
Committee report time, yep.
Right, right. So, Thomas, if you want to take a minute or two to share.
Well, y'all come so much tonight. Good to see people that were on the LSB when I was on, so I won't take up a lot of time. I have sent out the kind of sketch, the sheet. What we're asking for is for WPOW to cover as much as they can, but in particular, as much as we can, but in particular on June 19th, Wednesday, June 19th, we're having what we call Sunrise Juneteenth, a panel discussion. And the National is having activity with the White House, a parade from Martin Luther King Monument down to the Ellipse, ceremonies with the White House, a concert with people and speakers like Bobby Seale and others. So those kinds of opportunities. But to link into to the work that you all are doing, that the LSB is doing, this whole outreach discussion with the Juneteenth is something that we started last year and we wanted to continue. They're just opportunities. We're at the Plaza. We're up Georgia Avenue. We're all the way out in Frederick in the Prince George's County. And if you all don't know, there were over 242 Juneteenth activities in the DMV last year. We were only responsible for maybe about 15 of them. But it's a really good outreach to the community that is one of the goals of Pacifica and WPOW right now. Again, in particular, you know, we're working with the African-American Civil War Museum on the Plaza. That's a time, that's a certain time period. And there's a unique proclamation that we are sponsoring this year. People may have heard about the 100 soldiers that were killed in Texas in 1917 that have been exonerated. But we want to bring that, you know, out to light. And in terms of us working on Juneteenth, there's a lot of history that we have uncovered. So much so that we don't even call it history. We want people to tell their story, your story. Yeah, the stories of you individually, the story as families. And we set up sessions to do that in libraries, in people's homes, and of course on Zoom on that day. So I'm just going to stop because there's so much. I've sent activity lists to people, and I sent the wrong file to some of the committee members today. So I'm getting that back out to you. And I'd like to continue the discussion whenever time permits.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Thomas. At this time, so that we don't run over our time, and I know it was 10 minutes and I didn't pay attention, Dennis, when we started, because we know that outreach did go over. Irene and Bill, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and share about the upcoming LSB show, and thank you for the great job.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
Okay.
Let me go back for just a moment before we go to that. Kamal, we did not start at 9 o'clock.
How much
time? Part of the time. Part of the time was given. I looked up at 9:05 and we were still talking outreach.
9:05.
So, okay. Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Right. Irene.
I have questions for Bill. For Thomas.
Let me go on to get the show. Irene and Bill.
Hey, well, good evening. And, while we concluded the prior show, we had, Sataria, great education program, attempting to educate listeners to the benefits of being WPFW members, being a WPFW member, paid subscriber to the station. We had, Jerry, it may have been among his last times being in the air. It was at the end of the month. And, I think that went, we're still working out.
A little bit louder, Bill. You're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, my phone is okay. Thank you for saying that. My telephone volume is low for some reason, no matter how much I press the button. So we're still, discussing the upcoming show, which would be on the, 20th, wrong month, would be April the 26th, in terms of guests, et cetera. We know Juneteenth is coming around. We did mention that in our conversation. We also discussed, volunteer guy, Vinny, to come on to speak about, the role of volunteers, the importance of volunteers to the station, since we are a listener supported volunteer run station. People on the board are volunteers, programmers are volunteers, and we have a core. If we don't have a working core right now because of COVID, perhaps that'll help spur on people to jump in and become part of that volunteer core to support the mission of WPFW and Pacifica. Those are some ideas that we have discussed, and Irene may want to jump in and add some things to it.
Okay.
Are you there, Irene?
Yeah, I'm here. Bill and I still claim the role of rookie here. And we welcome any input that the LSB, because this is our show, can provide for us. Yes, right now we're concentrating on membership, because membership is also one of those big fundraising things. If you're not paying into the membership, then the money isn't coming in. So we're talking about the importance of membership. We're talking about the importance of even volunteering. And that's a way to get our face out there. That's a way to get us out there, and noticed, so that we may get some new people. I don't understand it when I go out in the public and I say WPFW and somebody looks at me like they don't know what I'm talking about. WPFW's name should be out there in our community every day, because they're community and listener sponsored. So that is part of our focus. This is our way of contributing to that big fundraising effort. Promote membership, promote visibility, and the ways that we can, and any ways that we can do that, any ways that you believe that we can do that, please give us your input.
Okay, I'm going to just
To the programming committee meeting. The programming committee meeting.
Okay, I'm going to encourage everyone to make sure that you listen to the LSB show. If you have suggestions before the show, get in touch with Irene or Bill, and definitely listen to the show and make comments, feedback, after that. Okay, Ron and
Minerva. Don't forget Minerva. Copy Minerva. Okay. Minerva.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was going to add to that, Irene. So we had discussed this too in terms of communicating. So if you do send something to Irene or you send something to Bill, send it to both of us at the simultaneously.
Irene, your suggestions. Bill, and Minerva.
And Minerva, yeah, yeah. Okay. CC Minerva. But definitely, have it addressed to Irene and myself.
Okay. Ron and Verna, we don't have time for conversations, but if each of you would like to make a quick comment.
I just want to make a quick Ron comment.
Okay.
Ron is first and then Verna, and then we're going to move on.
Are we good? Okay. Real quick. Regarding the LSB show, this might be a good opportunity to introduce Miyuki as interim GM, in a segment on that show. And for Thomas Blanton, I hope that, your plans include pre-promotional, PSAs, for that day. I know you're working with Katia, to make all that happen. But don't overlook that, pre-promotional PSAs, announcing, the activities of that day. That's it.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Verna?
Yeah, a couple of quick comments. I just want to make sure I want to reiterate the fact that WPFW will have coverage on the Pride Parade as we have had for many years in the past. Don't want to leave the impression that because we have not at this point adopted that particular proposal that we're not covering it. We have coverage from our perspective as our program director articulated extensively earlier this evening. The House, there's been a focus on an individual that is a member of the community, the trans community. And so I want to make sure we know that that is the case. We've always had coverage. We will continue to have coverage. And it's still a discussion as to whether or not that proposal that was submitted will be somehow included this year. Wanda Alston is the one that the house that Wanda built. So let's not forget that. And also I want to extend to Thomas the fact that please give me a call. I'd be happy to incorporate some of the Juneteenth programming into our collective coverage.
In fact, Marcia is supposed to talk to you because Baca is a co-sponsor this year.
Okay.
So either one of the three of us should talk.
Okay, fantastic. I'll get in touch with Marcia. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good cooperation. Thank you. Okay, Minerva, you're back on stage with the evaluation committee.
Evaluation committee. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. With the evaluation committee, we are scheduled to meet this coming Monday as well. And that date is the 15th. And our time for members of the committee, and this is going out, it's going to be at 7:30 since we have the, and this is, looking at the evaluation for our program director. And, we'll be, meeting to talk about, you know, how we move forward. This has been an experience putting together the committee and gathering information from the last evaluation. So we'll be going through that information on Monday. And that's all I have for that committee at this time.
Great. Any questions, comments for evaluation?
Just one, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Minerva, are you going to send out an email to those members who express an interest in serving on that committee about that date and time? Thank you.
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
And I think there were some individuals who heard it on yesterday, but yes, it's going out. Take
care. Okay. Bill, CSE.
Yes. Thank you. CSC is the Communication Standards and Enforcement Committee. As many of you are aware, it was, I want to say in January, may have been December, when it was presented, I believe it was January, presented to the board. It was already an approved document. Eileen Rosen worked on the committee. She has a scheduling conflict, so
we haven't really met, but I did have a conversation with the chairperson of the board to see, just get a feel for how we want to proceed with this particular committee. I guess I have three quick points. One is that back in February, two persons did verbally volunteer to be on this committee. So if you remember who you are, I clearly do not. Please re-volunteer yourself. And then in March, an individual volunteered. And I'll circle back with that person to ask them if they're still interested. I want to say that, well, that was the first point, to see if you can recall, you know, I'm asking for the help of the LSB. If you remember that conversation, or that verbal volunteer ring and the February meeting, that would be great, greatly helpful. What I'd like to do, or the idea is maybe to convene a meeting to discuss the role of the committee. It's not a standing committee, this particular Communication Standards and Enforcement Committee. It's not a standing committee of the LSB. It was a committee for those who are new LSB members. It was a committee that was formed, I want to say, a few years ago to attempt to help the LSB to become more collegial, I believe that's the word, in our meetings. So there was a pamphlet that was developed that was distributed to all the LSB members. And in a nutshell, it's about four different aspects, principles to it. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Talk to people the way you want to be talked to. Give people the respect that you want to be given. And the hardest of them all basically says, listen to others as you want to be listened to when you speak. So if we, if there's anyone here on the LSB is interested in being a part of this committee, we can discuss, you know, the role of the committee, determine if it's still useful, and if it is useful, how to use the stipulations in the pamphlet, which I know everybody has read and remembered, because we're doing so well for the past couple meetings. But I'd like to convene a meeting with interested parties to kind of discuss the pamphlet, to discuss its relevancy, and to also discuss if we still need it, or shall we put ourselves out of business until needed. So my email address is in the group email. Send me an email, let me know you're interested, and we'll convene a meeting, and or right here on the spot, you can verbally commit yourself to being a part of this important committee. Thanks so much, Dennis. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Is there anyone in the room who remembers volunteering in the past or who would like to step forward at this moment?
It was me, Dennis.
Yep.
Irene.
Yeah, we remember you. We were thinking for actually a couple before that.
Okay.
Thanks, Irene. Anyone else?
Okay, and Bill, I think I also signed up. This is Minerva, so okay. Count me in.
Okay.
With the.
Oh, you got your first two disciples.
Anyone else?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, move forward with that and keep us posted. Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis.
Okay, now we are into unfinished business. Mr. Bruce, are you around?
I am around.
Okay, what I would like you to do is lead us through a quick recap of last week's meeting, just reviewing some of the things that that the board, you know, sort of prioritized where we are with the fundraising activities, and go ahead and get it started. I'm going to step away for no more than, and I will be right back.
So just want to thank all the board members who showed up at the emergency meeting. We discussed quite a few proposals that were sent to us from the board. The top ones that came to mind, given that we are trying to do this within a certain time period of 12 to 16 weeks, the things we could get legs up on fastest, were a GoFundMe page, specifically for raising, money from the board. This is, the board driven fundraising for PFW, as pertains to our, the motion that was made at the last meeting. So the GoFundMe page on Facebook and social media, a popcorn fundraiser, with Double Good, that required no, input, just sign up. And, delivering to all of our, contacts and, social media contacts and about this, fundraiser has been done numerous times by numerous people. You've probably, all been called to, to do the fundraiser, participate, buy popcorn. That fundraiser raises a lot of money. I talked to somebody recently about it, and in 4 days, a cheerleader squad raised about $150,000. It requires a little bit. We also had numerous event ideas that were submitted. People are still submitting ideas to me. And, you, Dennis, I don't know if you saw some of the ideas. We got a few ideas in today. And then we were supposed to, really, Irene or Minerva really gave us the information on, underwriting and going out and really putting together a committee to go, and get the underwriting, program started. Those are the quickest things we could come in. There were quite a few other things. Art had an incredible idea about, putting up, shows, and quite a few talent show things. And Verna had an idea about a, good old fashioned bake sale. But the things that we can get legs up without a whole lot of, just a whole lot of manpower, out in the street are those things of the GoFundMe page, the fundraisers that incorporate that we don't have to do anything but reach our contacts. Those are things that can easily gain legs and can give us a shot at our goal. I will be following up a few things and sending out with you, Chairman, and sending out a few things once we can have another meeting and kind of drill down how fast we can get those things up. And I think Kamal was supposed to check on whether it was a possibility that we can even do a GoFundMe page.
Okay. That was going to be my question.
Yep. So I don't know if he's in the room still.
Yep. You hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you.
Okay. So, absolutely. GoFundMe. As long as we are, present our tax exemption, we can set up a GoFundMe page, and anybody who contributes to that page, their contributions will be tax deductible, so we can use that as a a way in which to solicit more donations. So it is possible. Yes.
Also, I did came out of the committee, Chairman, that we have, that we work with the development committee. And I think Irene, brought that up in the importance of working with them, with the, development committee. She stressed that also, I think, and also Mariah, thank you. Also a comedy show was, and Poetry Slam was presented also, but those are part of the ideas of events. Events can take a little bit of time. Comedy shows are easy because they're generally dealing with one or two, people in an act. Music shows are a little bit different, but I promise Art that, I know I made a commitment to try to see, if we could carry some of the music things, cause that's my background, right? In events. Myself. And it was quite a few other, things, but I stress to everybody, if you want your event considered or, your proposal considered, everybody tries to be like Mike. I would just say be like everybody who submitted a proposal written. Cause that's one of the ways that we can really look, review, and get it up on legs. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, and I want to, you know, the people, as you were saying, people with the suggestions, not only to write it up, but to, you know, everything has to, somebody has to, you know, has to start the ball rolling. So take a lead in getting some things done, starting with the GoFundMe. I know, Kamau, you got a whole lot of stuff on your plate. If there's anybody else who has any experience with that, would like to take a lead with the GoFundMe page.
I'll take a lead with it. I don't mind.
Okay. And the popcorn. You want to do that too, Wayne?
I guess that falls on the big guy. I think this is a little prejudice because I'm white. Put me with the food, but that's okay. I'm willing. Standing in the gap, I'm a warrior. That's okay.
But wait a minute, weren't you the popcorn connoisseur?
No, that was Kamau. We're gonna get that straight. You're not gonna just put food on me. You're not gonna do it. And I'm gonna call Bill on this.
Okay. I'm gonna call Miyuki in here, but we're also gonna need, I guess, a group to work on the on the underwriting. Sue, I think the comedy show is your thing. And I'm going to come to you, Eddie, after Miyuki. So go ahead, Miyuki.
First of all, once again, thank you all for being willing to try to undertake this and really raise money for the station. It is more critical now than it has been ever. And I just wanted to let you know, Wayne, I checked with the GoFundMe as well with the station compliance person. And his advice to me was instead of doing a GoFundMe, he said GoFundMe projects are usually by people who don't have any other means to reach the public. And since we have a radio and 50,000 watts, it'd be better to just send people to the website. And that's what he said. I'm not trying to discourage your energy or take you away from the focus you have. If you think you can do it and you can make it work, that's great. I love the popcorn. Thank you so much. I know the Jack and Jill. And that, some of the Kappas, I have friends who use that a lot. It's great popcorm. It's very, very expensive. I just say, let me give you the $50 as opposed to, cause they get the 50 thing. Right. But then I end up getting the popcorn, just give it to friends and stuff. So they really like it. And I know that a lot of groups use it and are very, very successful about it because people, you know, they like to get a little something for what they get. But anyways, I just wanted to let you know about the GoFundMe thing that, maybe there's another way to leverage the website and stuff, but if not, keep going what you're doing. I don't want to slow your roll.
Okay, thank you. Sue and then Ron. No, I'm sorry, Addie, then Sue.
Hi. No, this is Sue.
Is Addie.
Oh, okay.
Addie first, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I just wanted to remind folks that we somehow skipped over having a discussion of the idea of a performance week, which, you know, would be smaller events lined up, in different genres, I imagine, to represent sort of the, the reach of the station through these genres. Anyway, we should probably talk about that at some point. And I also want to just throw out there doing a pride themed event that like geared toward Gen Z folks. And, you know, the idea of a poetry slam, well, it doesn't really have to be a slam. You do an open mic that, you know, that is themed with pride. And I think you could probably, you know, you may not make a ton of money, but what you're doing is advantaging this fundraising campaign to spread the word about the station. Yeah. Anyway,
anything that builds membership helps to, raise funds in the long run. Yeah.
If I could speak to that, chair.
Go ahead.
I just want to say, yeah, I apologize for skipping over that because that was one of my ideas of having a performance. It was an idea, but I wanted to get things up that we could get up really quickly and not a whole lot of like manpower behind it or woman power behind it. I'm trying to be politically correct here, but, that is that. So, I apologize for missing that, but that both of those are great ideas, Addie.
Yeah. All right, now Sue.
Quickly, the comedy guy is on board for whatever's needed. So Wayne, I'm not sure, speaking to Chip Jones, who he should connect with, but he'll do whatever you want. Does not always do what I want, but he'll do whatever you want. And then another thing I mentioned before, but I'm really trying to work on this, is a template for a newsletter that could go out at least weekly. And I think probably should be public affairs and news, one of them, another arts and music, but has capsule descriptions of what we aired with arrow clicks where you can connect. The idea is we build our community, and of course it would be full of fundraising appeals. So if anyone is interested in consulting with me and giving some feedback, I'd be open to that.
I'd like to work with you on that, Sue. And actually, I think it should be, you know, one.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I think it should be one for both. It should include both public affairs and music because, you know, jazz okay. and justice. Keep the thing
off the Highland. Off the okay, Highland. You're right.
Off
you're
the Highland.
Right. There you go.
Also,
somebody's throwing you on the pile. There are.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So if you're interested, give Sue a holler. Art. Ron. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we going to unmuting?
You ready?
Wait a minute. Okay. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, just remind folks that I'm going to be sending out an email after this meeting about the creation of this underwriting task force.
That's right.
Because there are various levels. There are a whole bunch of different levels to that. And you know, we want to go ahead and take advantage of this opportunity. The other thing is that
okay, you can be the lead on that for now.
Okay, and the other thing is that Ambrose, I believe, was the one that suggested the popcorn idea. So he may be, I'm sure he would probably want to be involved in this, this.
Well, I heard it first from Wayne.
Oh, okay. All right. My bad.
Okay.
I think, must have been Ambrose chiming in on it because he was talking about buying some, you know, at our last meeting.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is this, I know we were, you know, we're trying to raise money, you know, for the station. Tonight it was revealed that, for as little as $42,000, we can balance our budget. A $50,000 goal, to do just that, is doable.
Mm-hmm.
I know we discussed $75,000, but if we can raise $50,000 within the time frame that we've been allotted, we can we can balance the budget and you know, be and move forward.
Right.
That's it.
Good point. And
just a target.
Yep. That's a good target. And remember that none of these initiatives necessarily forecloses the possibility of anyone making an individual contribution. That's always on the table.
I just heard, I'm getting mixed signals. You were saying for $47,000, wait,
excuse me, who's this?
This is Michael Byfield.
Okay, Michael, you're asking for the show. You are recognized. Go ahead.
Okay. When I asked Kamal what our accounts receivable from the 29th of February, it was $312,000 or $343,000. So for $42,000, we can balance our budget? That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, that's the $42,000 is the deficit and the projected deficit for the annual budget that's being sent forward. That amount is sort of, I don't know how to explain it, but that's, you know, that has to do with, during the year expenses and anticipated income. That's not the deficit at the end of the year.
Come out.
Yeah, accounts payable. This is why you gotta look at the details. So the bulk of that accounts payable, not receivable, payable is payable to the national office. Okay. Both the Pacifica Radio Archives and, the national office. So when you extrapolate that out, you probably reduce that 300,000 by more than 60-70%. All right. So that's an intercompany thing. We talked about this a few months back where, these things are negotiable with the national office. It's not as if we owe a third party. So again, we're going to be working very, very closely with the executive director and making sure that we tighten up all things financial and, straighten and, you know, hopefully get to a final number on that bulk of the accounts payable, which is, central services.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else on the, for now on the fundraising? We have some people who are moving forward and taking some initiatives and, please, all of you folks, keep me in the loop with your activities, you know, copy me on emails or send me, an update, in a week or two. Let me know what's going on, please.
Surely will, Chair.
All right. With that, we will move to see if Miyuki, and then we're going to see if there's any new business. Go ahead, Miyuki.
I just wanted to add thanks to Arthur and to Mariah. Arthur came and met with me to try to help us to figure out how to do planned giving. He's done that before, but he met with me one-on-one and made it convenient for me. He came into D.C., so thank you very much, Art. And Mariah met with two other young people from the station to see, figure out and have the really great ideas and how to get more younger people involved. And I forgot to mention that earlier, so I just wanted to thank them both publicly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any new business for discussion this evening? All right. Not like we don't have anything to think about moving forward. So that's okay. Did I hear something?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Who's that? Yeah. Irene, go ahead.
If you can hear me, is Arthur still on the line? Because his whole, that piece that Arthur had was a fantastic idea. And I think that we should get behind him on this. It's not the Blues Festival, because we have the Blues Festival, but it's something that focuses on jazz, and it's just, you have to hear it to know what I'm talking about. It's mm-hmm. Arthur, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, Irene.
Can you please pitch your idea, because
it's something that we need to get behind because it's a great fundraiser. I think it's a wonderful idea.
Thank you, Irene. Yeah, we talked about this at the special LSB meeting. It has to do with, you know, utilizing the talents and the connections of our programmers in the jazz industry and the blues industry to find out if any of their friends and performing friends are coming into town and, maybe convincing them to stay an extra day so we can perhaps do a fundraiser with these folks. So, it's been something that I understand that the station's done in the past, and Wayne Bruce was, apparently this is his, kind of business. So I think we have some definite connections there. So just a matter of getting the kind of staff support that we need, picking some right folks to, chat with and lining up venues, which apparently we also have a lot of connections to as well. So I think it's, again, something that we've done in the past and we just need to try to pick that ball back up and go for it. You do two or three of these events a year. Maybe you make six, eight, ten grand a pop. And you spread some goodwill and perhaps find some new donors and certainly new, income streams. So that's kind of the gist of it.
Okay. I agree that it's a great idea. Wayne has said that he's going to work with you on it. And I know you're already, working through the outreach committee. I don't think that there's, anything that the full board needs to do right now.
No, I don't think so either.
But just, keep fleshing it out and, keep developing the specifics. But, I think all systems are go to keep working on that.
Absolutely. Wayne, you and I will talk, my friend.
Okay.
Will do.
When I get a chance, please.
Yes, Michael.
Okay. And I guess we can call it new business, but it's old business. What has been alarming to me, we have had in maybe three or four board meetings where during community comment, tonight it was two people. The last meeting, it was three people. And the meeting before that, it was two people. That is very disturbing because in the past, I remember us having 34, 40 people in community comment that was sitting in a room and we didn't have enough time for them to make their comments. I think that is a barometer of our membership and something we really need to take very seriously. One of the things that I had suggested is for us to have meeting in person. And I believe that the Zoom portion of our meeting, we can always continue that. I love the technology. I think it is great for people who cannot be there. But I do not think it's a good idea for us to do away with personal interaction between members and board members, especially with members of the community. And finally, I think we're approaching, I guess it's fundraising exhaustion. We just finished the relocation, and I understand that in 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to start the spring fundraiser. I don't know how that is going to work. I hope we do well on it. But just those two items I want to throw out there, and I'm happy to work with us to try to get a location for us to have our in-person board meeting. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you, Michael. I'm going to ask you to contact me sometime after the meeting tonight, and we can start talking about that. I was actually at the beginning of the year, that's something that I wanted to work on as a goal for around now. And then there was a little COVID spike right at the beginning of the year. So I did not pursue it. I know the station reopened recently, cautiously, for the last couple of fund drives. So, I would like to discuss it and put something on the table to see if we can't, do a, at least one, meeting, sometime during the warm weather, in person, but, get in touch with me. We'll talk about it and then bring it back to the board.
Okay.
Okay. Any other new business? All right. Miyuki, are you standing by? I am going to, that is the end of our scheduled, business, for this meeting. And, I'm ready to entertain a motion to move into the next, closed portion of the meeting, which should not be, terribly long.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Wait a minute. You can't make the motion, Dennis. Let me make the motion.
I didn't make the motion. I didn't make the motion.
Okay.
I did not make the motion. So someone made it. It was seconded. Are there any objections? But thanks, Irene.
Actually, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
You can entertain motions.
Okay, but I didn't make it. I asked for it.
That's what he did. He entertained it.
Yes, I entertained it, and someone entertained me by giving it.
I understand my mistake. It's all good. Okay.
Okay. Are there any objections to adjourning to executive session? All right. I'm going to ask all the non-board members. Thank you for attending. I'm going to ask you to quietly step out of the room now. Everyone else, don't leave, but you can take a, what do we think? Is 3 minutes enough? Y'all want 5 minutes?
5 minutes.
5 minute break.
5 minute break.
Okay. 9:59. Just mute yourself. Don't sign out.